getting, 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 you're getting, 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 you're.
You can take a swing at my ego. You can make a run for my crown. Even if an army of people, you ain't gonna take us down. You can aim your evil.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the premiere episode of Podzilla 1985. This is the podcast tied to Blogzilla 1985. Your host, Shannon Young, is directly across from me. My name is Hunter Hendricks. We're here with Louis Benson and Zach Price. Your panel for today as we prepare to discuss WrestleMania 31. Shannon?
It is WrestleMania weekend. Everybody's excited. They're getting hyped up for it. But I don't think everybody is as excited as we think they are. I've been waiting for WrestleMania for a year since last year's debacle. Are you guys excited for WrestleMania this year? Hunter, we're all big wrestling fans. Are you excited?
Sure. That was probably the nicest way I think you could have described what went down last year. Yeah, here's the crazy thing. Over the past probably week or so, I've gotten a lot more excited.
Right.
But I think all that's tied directly to just the mystique of it, just the hype. I don't know about you guys, but the closer it gets to this time of year, the more I find myself watching. I find myself watching other, and that's the thing, it's not necessarily WWE. I find myself watching other wrestling related programming, whether that be even NXT, which of course is a WWE program, but right. ROH when I can catch it, stuff that I can find online. It just kind of gets me in the mood for that in general. WrestleMania, not necessarily. It's been a while since I found myself really keyed into some. I mean, honestly, since CM Punk left, it's been a while since I found myself really keyed into a particular person. And so it's hard to get behind anybody in particular and really be pumped about WrestleMania itself. So wrestling, yes. WrestleMania, yeah.
Well, CM Punk, like you gotta wait for the big UFC fight.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
To see that go down very quickly and him go back to WWE when he's out of money is what I'm assuming. You know.
And I agree with Hunter. You know, I agree with everything he says. You know, I haven't been excited for this WrestleMania. You know, like I've been in previous past, but. Yeah, then again, you know, it comes down to it. You closer you get to it, the more excited you get. Even though I'm not fully excited about this one, but, you know, just being a wrestling fan, I'm obviously.
You can't help it. Yeah, it's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I've worked on WrestleManias before, worked during the day, and I'm like, you know what, no matter how bad this day is going to be, nothing's going to be getting me down because WrestleMania's tonight.
Right.
And I still feel the same way.
I actually want to point out that this time last year, I was not excited for WrestleMania, and then my expectations were blown completely out of the water because I still say that WrestleMania 30 was the greatest WrestleMania ever. So
it was eventful. Like last year, the big selling point of Undertaker versus Lesnar, we didn't know going into it that it was going to go down the way it did.
Sure. Worst match on the card.
It was the worst match on the card, but it was the most when Lesnar pinned him, when that hand went down for three. We lost our shit. We were sitting there. We were stunned. It was the first network pay-per-view, wasn't it? WrestleMania was the first one. And it blew me away. And to me, that is what everybody will always take away from WrestleMania. But what is the selling point for this WrestleMania? Other than all the nonsense and all of the, you know, what are they going to do? How are they going to get themselves out of this corner? Like, what is the actual selling point for this WrestleMania? Is it Sting appearing? Is it Lesnar going against Reigns? And what's going to happen there? Undertaker coming back from that loss against Lesnar. What do you guys think is going to be the selling point for this show?
I think it's that they're going to give Divas a chance.
Hashtag give Divas a chance. You know, they've really, I don't want to derail the question there, but they have really... It's like they're trying to make us believe that they're trying to do that so hard. The matches are a little bit longer. The girls, they had a great promo on SmackDown. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Bellas and AJ and Paige had a great, long, detailed promo that gave a little more. Because really, up until now, all we've known is this is a tag team match.
Yeah.
It really isn't for anything other than bragging rights. The title's not on the line. But you know, I feel like we're getting the illusion of give Divas a chance and not necessarily.
Yeah, but even if you're giving them a chance, that is, I mean... If that is your selling point for WrestleMania, if they think that the Bellas versus Paige and AJ Lee is going to bring everybody in, I think you're crazy.
Guys, go ahead.
I actually I remember watching the Raw 2 weeks ago whenever they had the Divas match and they cut to commercial and I looked over at my friend and I said, "Dude, this Divas match, it's a commercial break.
The same reaction.
For the first time.
Same reaction. My wife was like, and I was like, you don't understand.
Right.
You just don't understand.
This doesn't happen. To your question more specifically, Shannon, about the selling point for WrestleMania, what's the high water mark? What is everybody waiting to see?
What are you waiting for?
Well, on a personal level at this point, if I have to pick one particular moment, one particular match that's coming down the pipeline that I'm not sure about, they've done their job. It's the main event. I really want to see what's going to play out
between
Lesnar and Reigns. Absolutely. Now, I think to your question more specifically, what's the selling point just in general? I mean, that's for me. I think it depends on what kind of fan you are. I think it depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to the kids, it's almost assuredly Cena and Rusev or Lesnar and Reigns.
Right.
If you're talking to most old school fans, it's going to be Sting and Triple H.
Which I'm old, so, Sting.
You're not that far ahead of me.
Sting alone. I mean, when I first saw him, what was his first pay-per-view? It was Survivor Series. Yeah. Yes. You knew he was coming in and been waiting for him since that damn WWE 2K15 video game promo. And if you remember that, the crowd goes nuts when Sting comes out, and when they see us for a video game, they start booing like crazy. I've never seen a crowd turn that quickly before.
Hell with your video game.
Yeah, but Sting versus Triple H, hands down, has to be the one thing I'm most excited for. I want to see Sting in the ring. I want to see him swing the bat. I want to see the Scorpion Death Drop. Zach, what are you excited about?
I'm excited for all those, but I am actually looking forward to the Rusev-Cena match and the IC title, because if you notice lately, those two titles have not been hardly anything in the WWE.
Sure.
No,
they haven't. Yeah. I mean, and now they got Cena going for it, and they hear Daniel Bryan's going to go for the IC title. That elevates not only those two superstars, obviously, but elevates those titles to another level. And I'm happy to see those titles get another chance of being recognized as a bigger than what they are now.
Well, and to that, I think you have to almost immediately address the rumors that have been the case that, of course, Brock Lesnar is re-signed, and I'm sure we'll get to that.
We'll definitely get to that, yeah.
But with that being the case, there is a very real possibility that he leaves WrestleMania as a champion.
Right.
Lesnar has a set number of dates on his contract, as he always has, which means, as they've been playing this angle for a while now, you're not going to see Lesnar regularly, which means you're not going to see the WWE title regularly.
Right.
Rumor has it that Triple H has been a very moving force backstage behind elevating, as you mentioned, Zach, those two titles to a point where you can play those out as major titles, as they should be, honestly.
Right.
I mean, we all remember in the early 90s, if you were the Intercontinental Champion, you were also the number one contender.
You were a step away from greatness.
Yeah. And, house show attendance is down. That's obviously a problem, but you can elevate that a little bit by having a title match be your main event. It may not be the world title, but all of a sudden it's the U.S. title or the IC title, something that people actually can get behind for a change.
Well, I forget which WrestleMania, which was Hogan versus Warrior, IC versus WWE.
Three? No, three was Hogan versus Andre. It was WrestleMania six.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. How far have we come from where, I mean, of course it's the Ultimate Warrior. There's a big difference between the Ultimate Warrior and Wade Barrett.
There's a big difference between the Ultimate Warrior and most human beings.
Yeah. He's no genetic freak like Scott Steiner, who we unfortunately couldn't get on the show.
Oh, well.
But you had this great main event, and it blew the roof off. Hogan versus Warrior, they combined the titles, or unified the titles, I should say. And back then, the IC champion was, like you said, a step away from greatness. Yeah. You were on the fast track. And like Zach said, for the past however long, I don't even know who the IC champion is usually.
You remember when...
I still don't know who the IC champion is. I'm assuming it's Barrett.
It's Wade Barrett.
Okay.
You remember a couple years ago when Dean Ambrose had the U.S. title?
Held it for a long time.
Like the record almost. And I was at the pay-per-view where he wrestled for the title, or was defending. I was like, who is the champ? I have no clue.
Well, because he never defended it was his problem.
No.
Although they did have that great moment where... I think it was on Raw. It was during a commercial break, so you didn't get to see it. But I think this was after Punk left. And the crowd's chanting CM Punk. Seth Rollins gets on the mic, and he cuts this great promo about, no, that's Dean Ambrose. And he just goes off on how great Dean Ambrose is. And that was great. Off topic, but I thought it was cool.
To a point that you made a minute ago, though, as we were talking about what we're all excited for at WrestleMania, you mentioned Sting and Triple H.
Yes.
I guess I kind of have a question for you tied to that. Is it more about, though, see, for you, from what I gather from the way that you mentioned it, it's more about the spectacle of it. You're seeing Sting in the WWE ring for the first time as far as an actual official match goes, going up against the guy who sort of personifies WWE at this point. But I said Reigns and Lesnar is probably what I'm more excited about, and that's more about the outcome than it is the actual match.
Right.
I'm more excited to see what's going to happen in the aftermath than the actual situation. So I think that's something else that you have to take into account when it comes to what people are really excited to see. I mean, honestly, I'm almost more excited for the Raw after WrestleMania than I am for WrestleMania itself.
Yeah, I think Reigns and Lesnar, it's going to be a fantastic match. Sure. But I don't think anybody cares about the match. They only want to know what the outcome is.
How's it going to end?
Right. And with Sting, the reason I'm so excited about him, I just want to point out, the reason I'm so excited for the Sting Triple H match, not just because Sting is a legend, but I have this really old school love for WCW. I love WCW. I miss WCW. Every time I watch Raw, there was a guy had a sign at Raw a couple months ago that said, I'd rather be at home watching Nitro on the network. And I agree with that 100%. So I really want Sting to win. Oh, well, now they would have. Clearly, they'll confiscate anything that, you know, goes against their vision. And Vince McMahon is a damn fool who, he's an old codger. He really is. I don't want to bash the man because he's a visionary. But eventually, you lose your sight, and it's time to step down. You said Triple H has been, you know, key in the back of getting all this stuff done. Triple H has pretty much been doing the best job for WWE for the past year or 2 years. I mean, he signed Hideo Itami. Right. He signed Finn Balor. He got Bruno Sammartino to get into the Hall of Fame. Kevin he got Steen. The Warrior back. What's that?
Kevin Steen.
Kevin Owens. You got to get that right.
I don't agree with that one.
but Triple H has done all this fantastic stuff, and I believe when Vince McMahon steps down and Triple H can step up, I'm assuming it's him that will step up,
right.
I have hope for the future. But with this match, you know, on topic, with this match, I just want to see WCW win for once. If Triple H wins, I will riot inside my own store, and I'll break every goddamn thing in there.
Go ahead, Louis.
No, I was going to say I'm glad I won't be there.
I have a problem with that, though. I love Sting, loved WCW, you know, as a WCW kid. But that was 14 years ago.
And he's been gone for 14 years. Yeah. He's
been gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did you guys hear what Ric Flair did?
No.
I guess not.
There was the panel that they had with like Booker T and Michael Cole and Ric Flair,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about, oh, Sting's been gone for the last 14 years, and Ric Flair goes, no, he's been wrestling on TV for the last 10 years. And he looks over at Booker and he goes, yeah, you know, you were down there.
He was too drunk by then.
Wait, who was the moderator?
Michael Cole.
Okay, so Cole's gonna get fired then, Jim Ross did.
They ended it real quick.
But like I was saying, you know, it was 14 years ago. There is no more WCW. Why is there now, 14 years later, a WCW versus WWE battle?
Well, I think they had
I don't think they have another angle, but I think they could have figured something else out.
How else do you do it?
NWA versus WCW versus WWE.
Well, what was confusing to me, I don't know how much you guys saw of Raw this past Monday, but I may be incorrectly remembering this, but as I recall, when they brought Sting out for his first big promo at the beginning of Raw, last Raw before WrestleMania.
Which was great, by the way.
Sure,
great
absolutely. Promo. He made a point in the midst of that to say, this isn't about WCW versus right. WWE. This is about, you know, removing Triple H from authority. But it does it not feel, and Shannon, I'm asking you specifically because I know that this is kind of your match.
This is my baby.
Going in here.
Yeah.
Does it not feel a little hollow, though, at that point? Does it not feel like you should have said, no, it really kind of is about WWE versus WCW?
It should be WCW versus WWE, because I don't think WCW should have went out of business. If Vince McMahon had played his cards right, we all know the invasion angle was awful.
Oh, of course.
They ruined WCW. They ruined the memory of WCW. They should play this off as WCW versus WWE. Show some clips from Sting in the past.
Right.
Portray him as the guy. But the problem is, you're right, it's 14 years later. You can't save WCW anymore. There's no saving it. So then what is the point of the match? Sting is going to take Triple H down out of power. I mean, it's a good story. And I love the promo they aired a couple of weeks ago where Sting was talking about, I tried to save WCW. I mean, it felt like a superhero story.
Sure.
It felt amazing. But if you get down to realism and you think about this logically, Triple H runs the company.
Right.
He creates everything.
Right.
Sting is just some guy, you know? So for him to say, I'm going to take Triple H down, realistically, and maybe I'm just getting too old and I'm too jaded as a wrestling fan, but realistically, Triple H could just go, Sting is banned from the building. I never have to see him again.
Right.
So to me, they have no story for it.
They're
playing off nostalgia.
This is where I have to guess that, and we didn't talk about this before we came in. Has everybody in the room seen wrestling? Is it wrestling? Is
oh, yeah. Yes, amazing.
Yes. Okay.
Fantastic.
I've seen it twice.
That, I think, at this point. Oh,
shut up, Zach. Wrestling isn't. You pinned me in it on Facebook, if I remember correctly.
At this point, I think that's where you have to almost turn to that and go, that's why.
Yeah.
You know what you know about Triple H. I mean, from a kayfabe point of view, that's why Triple H won't do that. He's too proud. He's
right.
too proud to do that. Someone has challenged his manhood.
Yeah.
Someone has challenged his authority, and he has a sledgehammer so he can do something about it.
And wrestling isn't wrestling, by the way. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's fantastic.
Watch Death of Return of Superman. Watch
Max Landis is a great.
Watch Chronicle while you're at it.
Well, shit, while you're at it, watch American Werewolf in London.
Sure.
By his father.
There's two problems with the Sting Triple H match. One, you know, they set it up to be WCW versus WWE. If Sting loses,
Well, Sting can't lose.
Sting can't lose.
Sting can't lose, or else this whole thing is pointless. But we saw, I think it was me and you earlier today.
Flair, that's what I was going to get to, yeah. But, you know, if Sting loses, and he's supposed to be this last hope for WCW, and they lose, they lost again. So they also kill the memory of WCW again after they've already killed it through the invasion.
Which they very well might do because they are very, you know, they're very nearsighted when it comes to stuff like that. And you were going to bring up this point. I'm gonna bring it up too. When Ric Flair said Triple H has lost, I mean, think about this. I didn't think about it until Ric Flair said it. Triple H has lost the last three WrestleManias.
Oh, wow.
He lost to The Undertaker twice, and lost to Daniel Bryan last year. Is he going to lose to Sting? A 56 years old, I think.
He's up there.
He's almost 60. Is Triple H going to lose to this man? He has to from a logical standpoint. But from realism, it's like, and that actually brings me to my next point I wanted to ask, is can, with this whole show is pretty much built on, this is fucked up, what are we going to do? Can the WWE win? Is there a way out for them? Louis, is there a way out for the WWE for the show? Can they have winners and losers and satisfy both the casual wrestling community and the internet wrestling community?
I think they can. I think that WrestleMania 30 was a perfect example of how they can. You know, they appeased the wrestling community, and they had, you know, they had winners and losers, and you know, the Batista and Randy Orton both lost in the main event, and Triple H lost in the opener, and they went on to main event the next two pay-per-views. You know, so it's, you know, it was, you know, it's, they definitely can, you know, appease the internet fans and the casual fans. And,
I think it's more about a question of, will they? It's not so much, can they? They absolutely have the ability to do so. You know, I'll go ahead and kind of jump in and play along with that. I think one way that they absolutely could win, and I don't see this necessarily happening now. I don't want to run down the entire card, but now that we know that Lesnar has signed, I think this changes a lot. But I think one way, and not only just to make WrestleMania a win, but also to possibly make Roman Reigns a bit of a win, because for a while there, it was a foregone conclusion. Reigns was walking out of WrestleMania with the title, would be to fully go behind all the brand new stars. AJ and Paige, AJ not that new, but Paige, they would have to absolutely win their match. Somebody who is not a former Intercontinental Champion has to win that match. Rusev has to beat Cena. If all of that happens leading up to the main event, I mean, this is obviously a hypothetical situation, but I think at that point, you might be able to win over an audience subconsciously enough to go, look, all the new guys are getting behind this. This is actually working. The new guys are making themselves stars.
Right.
And when Reigns does it, it wouldn't be such a shock to go, really? We're going to have him beat The Undertaker and Cena by proxy because Brock Lesnar already did it?
Right.
I think that's the way that would have made it work. Now, again, at this point, with Lesnar having re-signed and there being a very real possibility he leaves as champion, I don't know that I necessarily see that happening. I also don't know that from a personal preference I like it. Cena and Rusev is one I've gone back and forth on, and I'm sure we'll do predictions later, so I'll stay out of that for now.
Definitely.
But, you know, from the IC title point of view, I think you almost have to put it on Daniel Bryan at this point. If you're really wanting to legitimize the title, that has to happen. Cena has to win the U.S. title, so I think that plan may be not necessarily in shambles, but certainly not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination.
I want to bring something up. Because I never really voiced what match I was excited for WrestleMania.
We said give Divas a chance. I assumed you were serious.
But we put you down for that moment. Yeah. It's in pencil. We can erase it.
While the match that I'm most excited to see is obviously the Intercontinental title ladder match, because it has most of my favorite guys in it.
Sure.
The match that I think that they have done, I don't want to say necessarily the best job building up, but they've done a fantastic job building it up, and I haven't even heard anybody mention it yet. Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker.
I kind of thought that might be where you were going there.
Bray Wyatt spent the last 2 months cutting promos against a ghost.
Right.
And he got me excited.
And an urn.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's why if you go to my Facebook, you'll see that my cover photo is Bray Wyatt posing over the, you know, the rocking chair that's on fire. You know, I think find me is a great catchphrase. It's a great hook.
Sure.
It's better than follow the buzzards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a fact. Yeah. And, or that goddamn song he sings.
I love that song.
I hate that song. If I hear that song, you know.
Just showing worship to the Lord, man.
His promo that he cut on Monday night was the best one. Like, I was in bed about falling asleep, and then he comes on the screen, and I'm still halfway in. Then all of a sudden, he's like, I'm the new God of Fear, and I was like, okay.
New Face of Fear is really a great way of personifying himself.
And apparently,
I bought that shirt, by the way.
They're going to have, if the rumors are true, they're going to have scarecrows for his entrance.
Oh, yeah.
No, I swear to God, they're hiring scarecrows, and they were hiring, what was the other one? Something for Triple H.
Yeah, something for Triple H because they're
fucking Terminators.
Oh yeah,
I'm not making this up. They're tying together, and this isn't even on my list here of things to talk about. But I got to go off on this.
So okay,
they're tying together Terminator and Triple H for the new movie Genesis because Arnold and Triple H are such good friends,
and both their names start with the letter T.
Yes, yes,
and,
clearly,
and that's how he's gonna beat
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
He's gonna beat Sting using Arnold. Well, Arnold is going to help Triple H.
But to be fair.
And then RoboCop.
God damn it. I was about to mention that. RoboCop's going to come out and save
him. Chucky shows up, right?
Arliss, no. I think, is there somewhere.
Can we at least agree that if they're going to do the Triple H entrance with tied into Terminator, that at some point in time, there needs to be a promo package with Triple H filling in the Arnold role from the original Terminator, or I'm sorry, Terminator 2, and saying, I need your trunks, your boots, and your sledgehammer. Now, to your point, though, real quickly about the scarecrows, you mentioned that they were supposedly for Bray Wyatt. Here's the thing. I don't think that's been confirmed. We did hear that there were two, at least, major entrances that were being planned for the show. Usually, they tie into the same match. So my question is, if Triple H is getting the Terminator entrance, who's to say the Scarecrows aren't for Sting?
It could be, and that sounds really cool. I love what they've done with Sting. I feel like when he first came back, they really had this old WCW vibe where he was the silent hero. The silent hero, he's trying to do whatever.
Sure.
And in the past 2 weeks, he's talked more on TV. He had that great promo on Raw.
Right.
And I like that Sting better. And I think if they go with the Crow Sting, because, I mean, you can do both. You can be the Dark Avenger and still have a personality.
Right.
But if they go with the Crow intro, I feel like it kind of takes away from that. I would rather have Sting, you know, you don't have to make a spectacle out of it. Sometimes less is more.
They could just get the man some god-awful, some better music than the god-awful
his
stuff
music
he's
awful.
Right now.
What happened to his WCW theme? It was great.
They had that huge, in that WWE 2K15 promo, they had those that big orchestral version
that
of it.
That was
so great.
It was amazing. And then he comes out to he comes out to like, you know, stock music drones.
With Crow.
Custom number one because, in the creator wrestler on
with,
WWE
with Crow sound effects because that worked for Raven.
Right, of course, sure. Here's my plan. All right, let's see if you guys agree with this. Fire Eric Rowan, use the money that's left over to pay for Seek and Destroy, and just leave it at that. Can we just be comfortable with
we
that?
We could just fire Eric Rowan at this point, and I'd be okay.
Part number one is good enough. That's fine.
Did you feel a little lackluster, though, when Sting comes out through the backstage? I mean, I know they're never going to do it again. I know they're never going to.
They're not going to drop him from the ceiling. No.
But it's like at the last interview when Triple H is like, I'm going to call you out. He comes from the back, walks down the ramp, to the ring, calls him out. Sting comes right behind him, as if they didn't already see each other backstage.
Yeah,
like that.
Hiding out in his locker room.
Like,
well, maybe we should take it back to TNA where they had the bad guys and the good guys entrances.
I love that. I thought
I think that Sting's going to beat Triple H, and that's going to score him enough points in the Bound for Glory series.
It's a big card. I mean, not just Sting versus Triple H. It's a huge card. I want to go over some of these matches. I want to talk about each one. We'll go over because we've devoted so much time to Sting already, which I love, by the way, because he's a personal hero. And since I know Zack Ryder isn't going to win ever.
Zack Ryder even
you know it.
He's in the Andre Battle Royal, which
he
is actually what
sure?
I want to talk about first. Yeah.
Okay.
First, I want to talk about the Andre Battle Royal. Is, you know, it was on the show. Last year's Andre the Giant Battle Royal it was hyped. It had this great feeling. Cesaro wins and huge pop. Crowd goes nuts. Cesaro's the champion now. He's made. They fucked it up. Don't we get it wrong. And I'm going to try to drop as many F-bombs in this as I can just to separate myself from other internet personalities. But Cesaro, they screw it up badly. But you can't take away from the fact that the first Andre the Giant Battle Royal was great. And it had a great feeling to it. It was a feel-good moment. The trophy was awesome. So what do they do with this Andre the Battle Royal? They put a bunch of low to mid-card people in. And then they bump the thing to the pre-show. They didn't bump the women's match because, as Louis said, we want to give Divas a chance. But they bumped the Andre the Giant.
Give the mid-card a chance.
I understand the give the Divas a chance thing, too. You know, since Trish and Lita have left, and, you know, Triple H is making a point. You know, the last couple weeks they've been pretty good. So I'm okay with them getting a spot. But you don't take your biggest, literally the biggest guy.
Biggest name in wrestling.
Yeah,
history.
Biggest name in wrestling.
Yeah.
You make a match after him. You hype it up to this great thing. You have a really good match with it, and then the next year you basically make no names in it. Like, you don't, all you say is it's coming up, here's the title.
Yeah,
nobody wins, or nobody's, they don't, they, so Cesaro's gonna win, This one, there's a clear winner. I don't know who's in it.
Well, there's a bunch of, it's kind of like the Royal Rumble. There's right. so many random people no one cares about. There are a couple big names in it. I don't know if you guys heard, Hideo Itami won the NXT shot tournament. At the, the Andre Battle Royal. So you got Hideo Itami. It's got to be a shoe-in at this point, maybe, because he won that tournament. You got The Big Show and Kane, which logic, again.
That's going to be the drizzling shits.
It is. It's one of those things that, like, you hope to God
bowling
they don't win.
Bowling shoe ugly, I think, is the phrase that JR used quite a bit.
But they might win. That's the scary part. Well, you saw what happened at the Royal Rumble. They individually, or together, they picked up each next-gen star that could be the new guy.
Thanks for coming.
Chucked them out like they mattered not.
If that wasn't heavy-handed, I don't know what was. It was so obvious.
But they also got Miz and Mizdow, which should have had a match on their own, by the way. Sure. If they had built this right, they should have had a singles
but
match.
But you have to anticipate that's coming at Extreme Rules, because the breakdown's going to happen at WrestleMania. It's going to happen in that Battle Royal, and then Extreme Rules is going to be the big one-on-one.
And I look forward to that. You know, I've loved Mizdow.
Sure.
You know, I think I wouldn't mind if he won. My only, because that'd be a great way to make the angle. But
he won't.
My point is, if they do turn on each other, where's it going from there? He got over so much by being a stunt double. Where's he go from there?
Yeah, and
he's a great superstar.
Well, where do you take any comic character, comedic character? Look at Santino. Look at all the characters that
Hurricane.
Got
him.
Well, Hurricane.
Val Venus was a great wrestler, but he was never going to be WWE champion because he was saddled with a gimmick. Not a bad gimmick per se, but gimmick that was never going to put him over the top.
I want to point out that Daniel Bryan, about 2 months before he won the heavyweight title from John Cena at SummerSlam, was a comedy character.
He was, but you know, but Daniel Bryan at least has, and I'm not saying Mizdow, I hate the name Mizdow. I want to say Sandow, but so many people know him as Mizdow now.
Right.
He's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic wrestler. He's a fantastic interview. He was great as Damian Sandow. He's great as Mizdow. I hope they don't saddle him and they just push him down the card and forget about him once this is over.
I mean, history may repeat itself. You saw what happened with Cesaro.
Look what happened with Cesaro.
Cesaro wins. Cesaro's a guy who doesn't really have a particular gimmick other than sort of punching the air, and he's Swiss, and that's all we know about him.
And he's got that fantastic music.
Oh, absolutely. Next
which
thing
they
you
put
know,
so much thought into.
The trophy is shattered, which it was nice to see they got that thing put back together. I don't know if people remember that, but the trophy
I do,
was
yeah.
destroyed.
Who broke the trophy? I forget.
Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger and Cesaro were
who's in the
team,
battle.
Put it in the ankle lock.
Right, yeah. He broke
and finally thing. Something tapped. You know?
I get excited when you see these superstars that you like so much, Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro. You know, they get pushed on the card so much, and then you think back in time, you're like, you know, there was a time where Shawn Michaels was pushed down the card.
Yeah,
you know,
Shawn
he was
Michaels.
A mid-card, true. And all of a sudden, he becomes this huge name. I just sometimes hope for these guys that, you know. Okay,
but how many years have they been in it, though?
Yeah. And when's the breaking point? How far down can you go before you actually realize, hey,
you're never going to get shot? Look at Zack Ryder. I know I talk about Zack Ryder a lot. I love Zack Ryder. Hunter, I think you're a Zack Ryder fan, aren't you?
Zack Ryder fan.
Me and Louie, we were at one of the house shows about 2 years ago, I think, and I was decked out in Zack Ryder gear. You were there, too. I remember we all ran into each other. Zack Ryder is one of those guys that has been in there. I forget how long Zack Ryder's been in there. He's been in there for like probably 10 years.
Like 2007, 2008.
But he's only been on camera like, 2 months?
Well, he originally started
as grand total.
And he got himself over huge. The story's been told 1,000 times. They screwed it up like they did with Cesaro. They screw up people. They ruin their careers. And then they throw him in this battle royal and say, you know, here you go. We assume people are going to care, and they don't. One guy that is hot right now that they could totally make into a star with this, you talk about Mizdow, what about Curtis Axel? Axelmania.
He got over so much.
He is over Mania, like crazy. Right? And think about how over he wasn't before this.
You know, sure.
He was a Paul Heyman guy, didn't work.
Right.
He's the son of Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
Didn't work.
He was Michael McGillicuddy. Sorry, Beulah, but that's a terrible last name.
Never worked.
I think when he was coming out with like being Mr. Perfect's son, he got over one time, and it was just from his first pay-per-view where he did the perfect flex. And then that was it. He went downhill from there.
Well, did you see the segment on Raw, Hunter?
Yeah,
with Snoop Dogg, which, by the way, seeing Snoop Dogg next to Hulk Hogan, holy crap.
You know, I hated that segment until the end because I was like, Snoop Dogg looks like a kid in there, and that's exactly how I would be. I respect Hogan. I don't like him, but if I got to be in the ring and do the thing with him.
Well, you know, it's like our friend Jordan, who unfortunately couldn't be here tonight. We wanted him to be here, but he'd rather sling ice cream. Shout out to Jordan. he hates Hulk Hogan.
I can't stand him either.
How can you not love Hulk?
I cannot stand him.
Hunter, help me here, please.
I have run hot and cold on Hulk Hogan for a long time, and I finally come to peace
with the idea, because I should probably point out at this point that even though it seems like I you know, I know my wrestling history, I really didn't start watching regularly until about 97, 98. Right. So my time frame is Attitude Era and on from then.
Right.
And so when Hogan started coming back around at that time, I hated Hulk Hogan. Because Hulk Hogan represented everything I didn't like about wrestling.
The 80s and the 90s, sure, the cartoon characters, the big muscles.
I've made peace now with the idea that, and I don't know what it is, if it's just a matter of having, you know, caught up on all the old stuff and everything, but... You know, real American hits, and I get excited every single time. Now, to be fair, about 5 minutes later, I'm done with Hulk Hogan. I want about 5 minutes worth of Hulk Hogan. Thanks for coming.
You're not pushing for Hogan versus Sting at next year's WrestleMania.
No. I don't know too many people who are, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand right now.
And I like Hulk Hogan. When I was a kid, and he had that like gimmick where he was against Vince, and he had the, you know, like he wore like the red, white, and blue jumpsuit, whatever.
Yeah.
Mr.
America.
Yeah. I like Hulk Hogan. I respect him. But it may be because I'm watching the Monday Night Wars right now, and I see like where he got to run the stuff, and said, this is why the company's in the crap because you do things like this. But you helped run the company for a while.
But you have to separate, and it's the same thing with Hogan Knows Best. I hated that show. It made me dislike Hulk Hogan. But you have to separate Hulk Hogan, the man, from Hulk Hogan, the character.
Agreed. Right?
Whereas Triple H, I hate the Triple H character. I find it very boring. I don't like his promos usually. I think he's a good wrestler, but he kind of bores me. But Triple H, the man... And John Cena's the same way. Everyone hates John Cena, the wrestler, but John Cena, the man, is a fantastic guy. Hulk Hogan's the opposite. As a man, I don't like him. I don't like the things he's done. He's manipulative. He's greedy. He's a backstage politician. But I remember Hulk Hogan as ripping his shirt off, huge muscles, the pythons, the say your prayers, and that is how I got my start in wrestling. The
what? Triple H. Eat your vitamins. You forgot that line.
Oh, I thought you said eat your Viagra, which is what I'm assuming he's doing now.
So, in other words, Shannon, Triple H is to John Cena as Hulk Hogan is to Chris Benoit.
Who?
Oh, shit.
Is that a pipe bomb? Is that how that works?
I don't know if that's a pipe bomb.
That's like, oh, shit bomb.
Can you say that on the radio?
Good thing this is a podcast.
Good thing this is a podcast, yeah.
But when we put the sign up and we say explicit between the parentheses, we should
safe for work.
We should put one that says Benoit.
Yeah, put a Benoit tag on
Benoit tag on there.
But I just want to break this down basic. Let's just get to the brass tacks. Who do you got in this match? I want to know. Who do you think is going to win it?
We're talking the Andre the Giant the Battle Royal.
I personally think, and I meant to mention this, and I didn't. I want to mention it right now. Sheamus is coming back at WrestleMania. You know he's coming back at WrestleMania. Is he going to be a surprise entrant in the Battle Royal? Is he going to be in the Intercontinental match? He's going to be in one or the other, and he's going to win. Whichever one he is in. I guarantee you, he will win whichever one he's in because you don't bring somebody back that hot.
I don't know, man. I take umbrage with that. I'm not sure about that. I for the longest time, I would have agreed with you there. Mm-hmm. But up until this point, I've kind of made peace with. I don't like uneven numbers, and Sheamus more or less has to fit into that Intercontinental title match.
Because
there's
seven
entrants, so almost definitely you got to have Sheamus there. And I do not think that Sheamus will win that match if that is the case. I think Sheamus will begin a feud in that match. I think Sheamus hopefully not, because we've seen enough of that. But I think that Sheamus is going to return as a heel. I think that Sheamus is going to begin, cut somebody off from winning that match. There's a setup view right there off the bat. To the same point, when we were talking about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, you were about to ask me, I believe, who I thought was going to win.
Who do you think is going to take it?
You mentioned earlier that, you know, the NXT guy, Hideo Itami in this case, almost indefinitely has to win. I don't agree with that either. I think the idea would be, and Louis, see if you follow me on this or if you're with me on this, I think we're on the same line, would be that Itami would end up starting a feud in much the same way as what I mentioned with Sheamus, and that's what brings him up to the main roster. That's my guess, anyway. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that it has to be that Itami gets eliminated and that's what happens. I think it would probably be the other way around. Itami eliminates, say, somebody like The Miz, who is probably a pretty likely contender to win.
Yeah.
That's a way of bringing him up to the main roster. Miz says, I'm not going to let this, you know, stand, and I'm not going to NXT to deal with him. I'm too important for that. Bring him to me.
Well, they did Rusev in the Royal Rumble a couple years ago. I had never heard of Rusev. I didn't watch NXT at the time. Sure. And then Rusev comes out. I had no idea who he was. They just said he's from NXT. And he made an impact on me in that match. And I think that's what they're going to try to do with Itami on this.
Sure. Absolutely.
So you got Itami.
If I had to pick a winner, like I said, I think Itami will start a feud there. But I don't necessarily think he'll win. If I have to pick a winner, at the end of the day, the obvious conclusion seems to be Sandow. That's probably who I would go with.
You think they'll pull the trigger on him?
I think they'll pull the trigger on Mizdow. I think this is when they'll finally make that happen. And that will be just like it was last year with Cesaro and Jack Swagger. That will be what leads to the breakup of the tag team, ultimately the final straw, and then the
Do you think he'll go with Paul Heyman afterwards?
Honestly, I'd love to say that I would think that would work, but over the years, I mean, you know, Paul Heyman guy is a great thing to throw around, especially when you look at guys like Brock Lesnar. But then, as you mentioned, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, a couple of other guys that have fallen under the
Ryback,
where, you know, it didn't really, nothing took there.
Oh, wait, is he in the Battle Royal?
Yeah, he's in there. He's
Zach,
in there
who
somewhere.
You got?
A couple things. I want to agree with the Sheamus comeback. I think he's going to make an impact somewhere in WrestleMania. He can only come back as a heel because he's crappy as a face.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be in either one of the matches. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Maybe the only person I'll agree with this. I think he's somehow going to join with the Authority.
Really?
I can see that.
I could see he's going to join with the Authority somewhere with the Sting match.
You think he's going to come back and give a bro kick to Sting and put him down and carry that feud out?
I think that's how they want Triple H to win.
Right.
I think that's how they're going to do it. Going back to the Battle Royal, I think it's going to be Mizdow as well, Sandow, whatever. But, I agree. I think it's going to be him.
So we got two Mizdows from the looks of it. Well, what about you, Louis?
Make that three Mizdows.
Oh, God. So three Mizdows. I'm going to throw my money out there. I think if Sheamus comes back, he will come back probably for the Intercontinental Championship match. I think you're right on that. I just think surprise entrant Andre Battle Royal sounds good.
Sure.
But if you're going to put me to the test and ask me, I am going to go with... I hate to say it, and I really hope this isn't
true. Zach Ryder, I'm going to slap you.
As much as I wish Zack Ryder would win, I really think they're going to pull some kind of shit, and I think Big Show is going to win.
What?
Could be.
I think it's the dumbest possible outcome, but I just have this sneaking suspicion.
That's the dark horse candidate that seems like it could work.
Or Mark Henry. Absolutely. Mark Henry is also a good choice.
I also want to point out that I think that Mizdow winning will give him enough points in the Bound for Glory series.
God damn it.
All right, well, before we move on too quick, Zach, when you mentioned that about Sheamus, I have been thinking about that ever since, and now I'm thinking, let's marry those two ideas. Sheamus joins the Authority, but when he enters, and he could even still be involved in the Triple H Sting match, but when he enters the Intercontinental title ladder match, he takes out, say, Dean Ambrose, somebody who's a known enemy of the Authority, and all of a sudden you've got a reason for those guys to work together.
And I don't think he's... I don't remember this. I don't know where he's at right now, but I've heard rumors that Bo Dallas may be coming back. And I honestly think he might be in... the surprise entrant for the Intercontinental title. And I'm a huge Bo Dallas fan.
How can you be a Bo Dallas fan?
Have to divide this room down the center unless Louis is on that side. Louis,
are you a Bo Dallas fan, Louis?
I really thought his gimmick was going to work in the WWE, and I liked it a lot, but then, I mean, he just kind of fizzled.
Like Adam Rose.
Just think about it, though.
I never thought that was going to work.
He pisses you off. But
there's a difference between pissing you off. There's a difference between heat and Xbox heat.
Yeah, there you go. You beat me to it.
Yeah,
and my thing is, I'm Xbox.
you mentioned, okay, we talked about Andre Battle Royal. We're talking about Cesaro. That actually leads me to my next match, the tag title match. Also won the pre-show.
Sure.
It's the other match. No one really, this is probably the match I think that has the least amount of
appeal
to it. Yeah.
And so much hype. They've spent so much time building up this match. And yet,
Kidd and Cesaro is a great tag team.
Oh, absolutely.
Tyson Kidd deserves all the riches in the world. He's a fantastic talent. Cesaro, I've never been a fan of Cesaro.
I don't know how you can not
get
be a fan.
Out.
He's like, good, but.
The fact he took Big Show up.
No, he's a.
So did John Cena. Are you a John Cena fan?
Yes, I am.
I am also a John Cena fan.
Man, this is going to get heated later.
This room is splitting so many times. Cesaro's a good talent, but I just never found the appeal of him. I don't know why. He just doesn't strike a chord with me.
Is his big nipples?
I personally don't mind big nipples.
You know, if we got to talk Cesaro appearance or something that bothers me, it's the fact that the guy's not bald, but he kind of wants to be, and he's got the horseshoe thing happening. I just don't know why you wouldn't.
And
he wants to be a Heyman guy.
He was a Heyman guy, and you saw what that did for him. Yeah. You know, I can't think of any Heyman guys that have succeeded outside of Brock Lesnar and Punk to an extent, but when Lesnar came in, he came in with Heyman.
Right.
Punk was in there on his own and then eventually became a Heyman guy.
I think we can agree to clarify WWE Heyman guys. We're not talking about Dangerous Alliance or anything.
No. This is strictly in WWE. And, you know, Heyman was a big supporter of CM Punk backstage, but didn't really translate well to ECW, I think, is what he started in. And Heyman was in charge, sort of ECW at the time. He walked off and quit. And then Punk kind of lingered for a while and bitch slapped Shannon Moore, which was an awesome moment. I thought was great. but Kidd and Cesaro, it's a good tag team. I don't care about the Usos.
I respect them. I like them, but I don't think they should be champion again.
They're the John Cena of the tag division.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good way to describe them.
And yeah, they're always there.
You got the anti-Shield and, you know, New Day.
Who?
New Day.
Man.
The anti-Shield.
The black guys.
With no gimmick.
Why did it get so quiet?
How do you?
Because we're all trying to figure out who they are again. Still, it took me a minute to remember the name of the third guy because obviously we remember Kofi Kingston and Big E. I'm like,
Xavier Woods
starts with an X.
Consequences of Creed.
You know, and here's what's gonna be sad about that match. I respect all of them, and I know Tyson Kidd and Cesaro have to win. What's probably gonna get the biggest pop in the whole match is gonna be a feud between Naomi and
Natalya.
Yeah,
that's gonna get the loudest reaction. You know that's gonna happen.
I highly doubt that because, as we all know, that people have come from all over the world to watch WrestleMania, and they're mostly smarks, and smarks love Cesaro.
Yes, but you remember two weeks ago when the Italian Naomi feud happened? Like there, it was outside the ring. And the camera stood on them for a good minute. Didn't even go back to the match, and that was probably the loudest part of the entire match.
Natalya is loved by the internet wrestling community. Oh, she's a big star. Naomi, I think, is great. Naomi is a great talent. She's attractive, great body, works very well. Louie's laughing because I think. Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
You're gonna say I like black women.
Well, no, it's that's
okay.
Like,
I thought that's where that was going.
That wasn't it at all.
And you know what's funny is we forgot to mention that Los Matadores were in the match.
Oh, I knew they were. I just want to mention them.
I forgot.
I didn't care about them.
True story. My wife has not watched wrestling in a long time. I had it on Monday, and when El Torito started doing his thing, she asked, why is there a kid in a goat costume in the ring? And I had to have an explanation, a moment to say that's not a kid. It's a
full grown
person, and they are.
That's not
it's a, he's correct. A bull. And she goes, no, he's not. He looks like a goat. So
it reminds me of It's Always a Sunny in Philadelphia, where they become wrestlers and they want to look like eagles, but they look like assholes.
The Eagles,
you know. But you know, this is still a tag title match, and this, you know, WrestleMania is the showcase of the Immortals. You talked about bumping the Andre Battle Royal. Should they have bumped the tag title match? Is it insulting to the tag team champions?
I almost said this earlier, and I didn't quite get to it at the time, but. Yeah, they bumped it, and yeah, they made a big point to say, oh, it's on the kickoff show, but let's be honest. How many people are watching WrestleMania on a $70 pay-per-view order as opposed to how many of them are watching on the network?
Oh, yeah, network.
So most people are watching the network, which means they get the kickoff show anyway. I don't know if they get it if you order the pay-per-view individually or not. Really, the kickoff show is just a nice way of saying WrestleMania is 6 hours long, and we don't want to tell you that.
And why wouldn't they do that, though? Like, I always remember WrestleMania as being longer.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's a longer event because it's WrestleMania.
It was like three VHSs if you had a VCR. You had it on tape. It was like, okay.
Right. Hey, I had those VHSs.
I did, too.
I was
you
old
get it mixed up
that.
With your Star Wars collection. You never know which one is which. Still the tapes get that. All thrown
Vader,
in.
Vader, Hogan, same guy. You know.
But
equally evil.
But is it a big deal that it was moved? I mean, honestly, I don't think so. They made a point to say that it happened that way. But I kept questioning why they even made a point to say it's going to be on the kickoff show. It's going to be on the kickoff show. Well, yeah, most people who are going to watch WrestleMania are probably going to at least have the kickoff show on in the background.
Yeah, they have to.
Right.
I will have it on while I'm driving.
Right, yeah, well, there you go.
We've got have the kickoff show at Gaming Grounds. We're having the whole pay-per-view at Gaming Grounds.
And where is Gaming Grounds located again,
709 Shannon? Broadway.
Don't come.
It's across.
It's a good time for a commercial break.
What town, Shannon?
Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's a nice little place, 63701, for all your gaming needs. Hi, Lonnie. but we're gonna have it. We're gonna have it on at when does the pre-show start? 6-7
The pre-show starts at 4.
Four?
The kickoff show starts at 4:00.
I thought
o'clock.
That was 4 Eastern or 4 p.m. Pacific.
No, it's Pacific. Four Pacific for WrestleMania.
So we're gonna be open during the opening.
I just get
part.
Off work.
The kickoff show is 2
home.
Hours long, and WrestleMania starts
Jesus
at
Christ.
6, so it has to start at 4. That's 6 hours of WrestleMania.
They should
and
have.
This has kind of proved my point. This is why. I don't think it's a big deal that those shows are on the kickoff show. They're just making a point to tell you, hey, if you want to see those two, tune in there. Really, WrestleMania is just 6 hours long.
And they should have just said WrestleMania starts at 4.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think that's daunting to people to say, you've got to watch your TV for the next 6 hours. So, in a way, I mean, they're not going to say it outright, but I think they're kind of telling us, look, the tag title match you don't care about and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal result that you can look up later, they're both happening in the first 2 hours.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Do you think
right.
You know, in the tag match.
We need an acronym for this thing.
A tag match, where are they going to go after this tag match? Do you think the Ascension's going to make some kind of appearance in this?
I love
it. Not win it, but just make an appearance.
I'm sorry, I assumed you were going, do you think the Ascension is going to do anything important? And I was no.
I mean, the Ascension's dead in the water already.
Oh,
I hate to say
it.
I
haven't seen them since NWO and JBL put them down.
They were on Monday, but I'm trying to remember now what they were doing. It was some part of a big
They're in the Battle Royal. They're in the Battle Royal, so they were brawling.
They're not very good
promos, are they? No, I think they do a great promo. Their promo against all the old tag teams where they were just making fun of them, and everybody was like, oh, that's offensive. You can't disrespect this or like that. That's what you're supposed to do. That was what was so great about the Attitude Era is they spit in the face of authority. They spit in the face of nostalgia. They said, fuck you. This is what we're doing now. And the Ascension, to me, represents that. Yeah, they're kind of like a, we built this in a factory to look like it's against authority. But I think they're still good.
I think the Ascension could have benefited from less talking over, although I think if they had let their actions speak for their words, it would have been a lot better. You know, from what I saw of them in NXT anyway, which was brief, to be fair. But, I mean, they steamrolled over everybody. And there wasn't a lot of talking from them, as I recall, in NXT. I could be wrong about that.
No, I think they just came out and they looked scary in the camera.
Brooded.
They looked like when they came. That's the
they should have called them the Brood.
That's I think they had one of those. I think
that was the first time I saw them on Raw. And I didn't, because I didn't get watch NXT, and I was like, okay, these guys look pretty badass.
They do look badass.
The second they grabbed that mic.
It's like Mike Tyson.
I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Well, you know who they remind me of? They remind me of the Road Warriors.
Well, sure.
In a way, they remind me of, because they have that big, tough guy kind of leather.
They remind you of Demolition, right?
Demolition, too much bondage for me. But they remind me of the Road Warriors, and I can't remember a Road Warrior promo other than Hawk saying, Louis, can you give me a Hawk?
Well,
yes, that's the only thing I remember from the Road Warriors.
You're also now aware that Shannon has a certain limitation on bondage. There's a certain point where it comes.
You know,
off.
We're talking about bondage. We're talking about nipples. I'm pretty sure John Cena's sex scene from his new movie is going to come out. We're going to talk about his dick
eventually. You see his ass, Matt. I'll point that out for you.
I want to see his ass.
Talking about Batista.
Oh, man. Go to the next match.
Well, we haven't even gotten to WrestleMania yet. We're still on the kickoff show.
But not that anybody cares, but I want to get a prediction for each match here. Who do you got? I'm personally going to say Ken Cesaro retain, because this is one of those matches that is just to warm the crowd up. Everybody agree on that, I think?
Yep, Ken Cesaro.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so next is the match they probably should have bumped to the undercard. And this is, now we're actually on WrestleMania at this point.
Yes.
This is the actual show. They probably
45
will not.
Minutes into the show, we're at WrestleMania.
Has it really been 45 minutes?
It's been 45 minutes.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
we spent too much time on Sting.
Beat the shit out of Jesse's podcast. I'll just point that out. 30 minutes, and they've got five different people talking five different topics. This is where the big boys play. Check the adjective. Play. We ain't here to play.
I love that. That's great.
But Bellas versus Paige and AJ Lee. I don't want to talk about this too much because they're women and they don't deserve it. I am so sorry.
No.
Please forgive me on this.
No.
I think they should have bumped this down and put at least the Andre Battle Royal should have been on the card. It should have been the opening match.
I'm going to agree with that no matter if it is on the pre-show,
well,
you get to see it, I still think that should have
been. If nothing else, there might be a little, and this is kind of indicative of how WrestleMania has been this year with everything that's going on with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, with Brock's contract, with Daniel Bryan not being in the main event because of health issues, rumored.
I
want to
talk about that later too, for sure.
I don't know if this is something that you guys have come across, but what I understand, the Bellas contracts are this close to being up. In fact, they may be up directly after WrestleMania.
Yeah, and they said they're not signing.
Well, that's the deal. The rumor is they're not going to sign them.
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? They're going to go where they went for a year the last time. Nowhere. They're going to sit on their copyright.
Well,
they're going to make money from that.
They're rich. They're beautiful.
John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Now married at this point. That's something they didn't have last time either.
I don't think Nikki's married. I think just Brie.
Well...
I mean, is Nick even with Cena anymore?
They're with, but he does not want to marry.
You right watch now. Total Divas. You know this.
I love Total Divas.
I've only seen the first two seasons of Total Divas.
I love the show. It's very funny.
Well, Louis, you said give Divas a chance, and I know you were joking about that, but do you care about this match, honestly?
Honestly, yes, I do.
I agree with that.
Do the turns that have happened over this, at SummerSlam last, was that last year? That was last year, wasn't it? SummerSlam?
I hadn't been one this year yet.
Yeah. Exactly. summer. Fuck.
We haven't had a summer.
Jesus Christ.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Wish we had chief meteorologist David Bryan. What the fuck was his? I don't even remember his name.
He almost got there.
Anyway.
Grant Dade?
don't bring him up.
The Bellas, at SummerSlam last year, was a Brie Bella versus Stephanie McMahon. Was my second most looked forward to match on that show, other than Cena Lesnar.
Yep.
And it failed in every way, in my opinion, because other than Stephanie McMahon looking
like
ridiculous.
China. Looking like China.
Hot
the problem
China.
At this point, if you ask me, if you're talking about just what's going on with the Divas division over the past year.
It's nonsensical.
Well, you have Paige debut directly after WrestleMania, and she's gotten the Big Show treatment. She's gone back and forth from face and heel so many times,
exactly.
It's hard to keep track of where she is.
The Bellas, too.
The Bellas, the biggest problem I had with that was not even so much the turns, it was the fact that sometimes there wasn't a turn. I don't know if anybody remembers that Brie Bella was supposed to be Nikki's, indentured servant
or whatever.
She
wanted her to die.
Sure, and then all of a sudden that was not the case anymore.
It was like
because of Total Divas. They have to keep in line with that show. So
which is taped beforehand, too.
Right.
They try to play off the storylines on Raw to keep it current with the Total Divas show.
Right.
The Total Divas is recorded months.
But this all ties
back.
Right. This all ties directly back into the problem that I have with the match itself. I have absolutely no problem with the match overall when it comes to the people that are involved. The Bellas have gotten a lot better at what they do. AJ and Paige are about the best two divas when it comes to in the ring that they've gotten over the past little bit. Of course, Charlotte's a different story. We're not talking NXT, but or in Sasha Banks for that matter.
Oh,
too.
Sasha Banks.
I like Banks.
Sailor
Boss.
But
oh,
point being,
Boss.
Sailor Boss.
The problem is, the reason that you don't have any reason to care about this match is not just because of the changes over and over, but there's nothing at stake. There's nothing at stake in this match that they could have. And I realize this is kind of a Vince Russo-esque type of move, but you know, make it for the title. Whoever gets the pin wins the championship. Yeah. Now all of a sudden that ties directly into your AJ and Paige dissension on Raw that, you know, maybe all of a sudden we can bring up a little bit more about that deal with Nikki and Brie from last year. That's all been forgotten. Now you can bring that back and actually have some closure to that.
Cause it feels meaningless.
Right.
It feels meaningless
right
now.
That's the problem to me.
But who's
going to
win?
AJ and Paige.
AJ and Paige are definitely going to win.
My guess.
It will not. And I had
especially if the Bellas are on their way out.
Yeah, and I had this written down. I wanted to ask, do you think it's going to compare to NXT women's matches? It clearly won't in any way.
It could surprise you. I mean, I'm sort of looking forward to it. That I think it might. I think it might.
I am curious about one thing though, and last thing I want to point on, you know, pick out about this. They have totally not referenced what happened with Stephanie McMahon and AJ Lee. What, about 2 months back?
On Twitter.
Oh, yeah, they're not gonna.
But do you think that is going to tie into this match? Do you think AJ Lee is going to get put down in this match, or do you think they're going to try to embarrass her on WrestleMania to get back at her for embarrassing Stephanie McMahon on Twitter?
I feel like at this point...
Who?
I feel like at this point, if they were going to do it, it would have been done already. I don't think that
there's... But I think they already had a plan, though, to go into WrestleMania.
Well, sure. But I don't know. You know, WWE's not really well known for their calm sensibility when it comes to these things. I think if something was going to happen, it would have happened already.
They don't rush things.
You're right.
They don't rush things. All right.
Sense
so
and sensibility.
That match no one cares about.
I do.
Paige and AJ are going to win just because they're the flavors of the week. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the... now, on the list that I was reading online, I was going over the matches. This was written next. There's no way in hell this match is going to go next, but I got it written down that way, so let's just jump on it.
Sure.
Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. The room goes silent as soon as it comes up.
Here's why I'm torn on this, is that up until now, it's all been just sort of the understood situation that Sting was going to have his match with Triple H, and that might be all there is to it. He has his Legends contract. He rides off into the sunset. But I've not heard anything in the way of a rumor that says, okay, Sting's going to stick around or anything like that, but let's just say he does. If you consider the idea that Sting's going to be around, then you have to consider the idea there might be an Undertaker or a Sting match next year.
Right.
If that's the case, Sting can't lose to Triple H.
No.
That can't happen.
If Sting loses to Triple H, and we're back on Sting again, thank God. if Sting loses to Triple H, the world is over. But
right.
Obviously, that's the match. That's
but at the same time,
that's what everyone's excited about.
Right. The next part of that, then, is that if that's going to happen, if it's going to be Sting and Undertaker, Undertaker can't lose to Bray Wyatt.
He
which
can't.
Is the only scenario in my mind where that can't be the case. If that's a possibility, then Undertaker can't lose. Otherwise, Bray Wyatt wins it hands down.
But who wins in this match? If Undertaker wins...
They both are going to win.
No, they're both going to lose.
No.
Because if Undertaker wins this match, it won't matter because
he's done.
He's 50 years old.
But he gives Bray Wyatt the rub.
He does not get... Did Cena give Bray Wyatt a rub when he feuded with him?
It's fucking Cena. Cena doesn't give anybody a rub.
But it's Undertaker.
It's Bray. Look at his promos. He's been cutting promos for the past 2 months to nobody, and he's gotten over on that. You don't think him having a spectacular match, just like when
First, they're not going to have a spectacular match. Again, The Undertaker is 50. Did you see the Lesnar match last year?
Well, to be fair, he got concussed like 5 minutes into that match.
That's true, and he looked awful.
And to be fair, to that point, he was fighting Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
so.
You don't go in versus Lesnar expect something good to happen. But if Taker wins, it only sets up versus Sting. And then Wyatt, what happens to him? If Wyatt wins, who gives a shit? Undertaker lost last year to Lesnar. He is not the golden chalice anymore. You know, he's not chasing the Holy Grail now.
If Bray Wyatt wins, and they do indeed set him up as the new face of here, and he defeats the Undertaker, then Bray Wyatt has to be the summer of Wyatt. This guy has to go on to be an absolute ass kicker for the next three, all the way up to SummerSlam. And honestly, if you're going to move the title, which obviously this is going to be a whole other bag of cats later on, but if you're going to move the title off of Lesnar, then whoever has it has to be a target for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
he has to have something to target at that point because you know, once the Undertaker's out of the way, like you said, who's next?
Yeah, because when Lesnar beat the Undertaker,
you're not going to get Sting to come back again and do that.
No.
We were all looking forward to this year. We thought Sting and Undertaker was going to be the match. Do you think that Triple H cut off that and said, I want to face Sting? Nobody else can face Sting but me. And then you think that's why they had to bring Taker in to face Bray Wyatt? Because they're like, we got to have another draw.
I don't think Triple H had anything to do with that. I think it was just, I don't think he did it out of spite. I think he just did it because it made the most sense.
It just annoys me because everybody's looking forward. Everybody was talking about
Which would you be more excited about? Sting versus Triple H or Sting versus Undertaker?
Taker.
And this is what I was going to say, Sting and Taker. I think at this point, this is probably what you said is a direct tie into why would they make that the case? Why would they make Sting and Triple H? Because Sting and Undertaker's next. I think you've almost have to assume that that's going to be the case.
A year away.
A year away. And that's the concern is that, you know, granted, as Louis mentioned, you know, Undertaker was concussed, so there were plenty of other issues with the Lesnar match. But yeah. I think that's a real serious possibility we have to start looking at now. Is Undertaker going to make it to WrestleMania next year?
Well, that's one thing I was wondering about, too, is Undertaker this year. Last year, the last image you saw of the Undertaker that I remember is, no offense to the Undertaker, he's a legend, but a broken-down old man inside of the ring who looked very human and not at all like, you know, the Undertaker.
And a lot of it's just a loss of muscle mass, man. The guy just he's not as big small. As he used
he
to be.
He looked like somebody's uncle, but right?
You
know?
You showed me pictures today of him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
He looks...
He's good. Looking more jacked. Like, what do you expect the Undertaker to come out as this year? Louis, do you expect the Mohawk Undertaker who looks like your uncle that just came over to visit and play wrestle with you? Or do you expect more of old school Undertaker? Is he going to get the muscle back on? Is he going to look good against Bray Wyatt?
He looks good from the photos that I've seen him. I don't know what his hair is going to look like, though.
The hair is a big part of it for me.
I
like Samson
hair.
For you.
Well, you know, actually, that's a pretty good, you know, he took Triple H down, but, you know, that was when he first started really looking like he faltered. Now that I think about it,
yeah.
I mean,
that Mohawk was a bad idea.
That's when the matches were going to a point where, you know, granted, he and Shawn Michaels would go almost an hour, but at the end of it, they were both able to get up and walk away on their own power.
Yeah.
By the time that you're in these matches, Hell in a Cell with Triple H and everything, they're all three staggering on each other. So.
Well, it's like the wrestling isn't wrestling thing said. That should have been the last match.
Yeah,
like all things considered, that should have been the end of the Undertaker.
It was booked on the show as end of an era. I mean,
until
that's how
next
it was
year.
Listed until
well, next year.
It's, you know, Rock and Cena once in a lifetime until it's another
twice
time
in a
lifetime.
Lifetime. Yeah.
He predicted the rapture apparently, and we didn't know.
But the Macho Man stopped the rapture. I saw that meme. Do you think Taker's going to win it, Zach? Do you think Taker's going to go over Wyatt? You seem like you think Wyatt's going to win.
I think Taker's going to win. I think he has to if they want to set up for next year. I honestly think they're not going to make him lose two WrestleManias in a row. Bring him back after losing, make him lose again. They're not going to do it. But I think, ultimately, you don't agree with this. I think Bray Wyatt's going to win in the fact of, I'm next. I'm the next big star. I think that's how he's going to win from it, even if he loses.
What about you, Louis?
Gosh, you know, I've been torn on this match. I could really see it going either way. But, I mean... If he's calling himself the new face of fear and they literally just released a T-shirt like today, because I mean, how could you not have the new face of fear beat the old face of fear?
Well, and the biggest problem to me too is that this is not a match that ends in any way other than a straight pinfall 1-2-3.
Yeah,
there's not going to
be
a disqualification,
be
a count out, and it's not just because it's WrestleMania; it's because of the stakes. I mean, this is a match that does have some stakes without a title on the line or something like you said. It's the new and the old faces of fear. Somebody has to come out on top.
And the thing about it is, if Undertaker loses, he's still going to be the Undertaker,
right?
You
right.
know, there's not going to be nobody's going to look at him and go, "Oh,
he lost it."
Just look at this jobber. You know.
Yeah, this is the showmanship, the sports entertainment version of Michaels and Jericho from WrestleMania 19 to a degree. This
right.
is the old lion and the young lion, and who comes out on top? Well, at that time, you know, if you want to use that as a historical precedent, it was Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Jericho walked away looking like a real star after, you know,
Bray Wyatt.
Kind of thrown off.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what do you do in this situation? Do you set the Undertaker up for one more match, and you're going to put him over Wyatt? You don't know what's going to happen to Wyatt after this. He lost to Cena.
I think the Wyatt family reforms.
I wish they would. I love the Wyatt family.
It'd be better off for all of them at this
Luke
point.
Luke Harper
honestly.
Was one of my favorite guys. And
I don't like him as a single.
I don't either. I like
so
him.
Lackluster.
It's so much better when they were a group.
He seems like he needs somebody to coach him or like tell him. Like he looks like one of those dogs who looks lost until he gets trained on how to do things. Yep. He looks like he needs like Bray Wyatt. Like, attack.
He does. Well, it's just like some wrestlers need mouthpieces. You know, they just got to have them.
Like Reigns does.
Side note, tied to Luke Harper in general. Has anybody else noticed that he and Dean Ambrose seem to be sharing a tire? Luke Harper looks like the Hulk of Dean Ambrose's Bruce Banner. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I tweeted about it 2 weeks ago, and then last week they made a comment about it on the show.
And one wears black, one wears white, right?
No, they both wear gray tank tops.
But the difference is one has grease stain. One has KFC grease all down them.
You shut up about Luke Harper. That's my guy. Speaking of guys that kind of need a manager to help with them, and he doesn't really need a manager to help with them, but I want to take this to the next match here, and I'm not excited about this one. Other than I like both guys, Orton versus Rollins.
You're not excited?
I'm not excited because they've built it up as they're trying to outsmart each other, but they're outsmarting each other. The writing in the WWE, especially for this story, I mean,
it's smart writers.
Yeah, if a 13-year-old wrote it, it would look good.
First of all, can we agree this match opens the show? This is almost guaranteed. You think this is going to open the show? Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's tied to what we'll get to later on with the main event. But yeah, I think if Money in the Bank might be coming in the main event, I think you almost have to put on Orton and Rollins first because you want everybody to forget about Seth Rollins after that.
Right.
Which is why I think Rollins has to lose this match.
Well, I was going to say, if Orton wins this match, do you pretty much guarantee that at the end of the night, Seth Rollins is coming in with that briefcase?
I think that happens regardless. I think it happens no matter who comes out on top here. I think Orton wins it. I think it's very close. I think it's a very competitive match. But I also think it goes 8 to 10 minutes max, and then it's over, said, done, thanks for coming.
I agree. I think Orton is going to win this.
That's a way to cap off.
And I think it's going to be the show, the match that steals the show.
You think this match is going to steal the show?
I honestly do. I love Orton. He's great. Seth Rollins.
I do too.
But I think Seth Rollins, isn't this his first singles match at Mania?
And yes.
He went at Royal Rumble against Brock Lesnar and John Cena. Amazing.
Did you say he won?
No, he went against him. He did amazing.
And to be fair, dude has a huge dick.
And I have seen a picture of it getting RKO'd.
You showed me that picture, and it's a great picture.
I think this is Rollins' night, but I don't think that's how it happens, honestly. I think Rollins' moment comes way later in the night, and it's not tied to a match. I do agree he had a fantastic match at the Royal Rumble and a great showing against Cena and Lesnar. I think that's proof that he can do that at a later point in time. But this thing with Orton, this thing's got to be capped off. Let Orton get his win. Let that be taken care of, and let Rollins have his moment much later on in the night, which we'll get to.
We will get to that. What, Louis, you got Orton?
Yeah, well, as much as I wouldn't like, you know, as much as I want Rollins to win that, I do think that he does get his moment later in the night. And I do think that Orton takes it.
And that's bringing me to my favorite match. This is the granddaddy for me. Again? This is, we just devoted 40 minutes to it to begin with. So we won't spend too much time on
that. At this point, we have gone the full Iron Man length here. We're just over an hour.
We can make it a two-parter. One today, one tomorrow.
I'm thinking like, man, they're going to shut us down pretty soon.
Shut us down. We want to be Penta Nerd.
I think I've got at least 170 something minutes on SoundCloud. We're good to go.
Awesome. And you know, yeah, this is two Penta Nerd podcast.
So kiss our asses. So
fuck you, Jesse. Triple H versus
just
Sting.
Jesse.
Just Jesse.
He's the only one. He's my people, but fuck Jesse specifically.
Nobody else on that show I have a problem with.
we both know that's a lie.
Fuck you too, Steven. Anyway,
Can we just go ahead and get them all in there? Fuck you, CJ.
Fucking Krista, bitch. Anyway, who was the other guy? Well, the other person's Stephanie, and I love Stephanie. I've got nothing against her.
Oh, she is.
Good friend of mine. I can't say anything bad about Stephanie. Anyway, Triple H versus Sting. I don't want to talk about it too much. We've talked about it 100 times. I don't think this is going to be a good match from a wrestling standpoint. I think it's going to be a great match from a spectacle standpoint. It's like when Hogan fought The Rock. Not a great match. Great buildup. I want to point out that Triple H is 45. Sting is 56. So,
and those are numbers.
Those are real numbers. and this whole pay-per-view, like you said, it's old versus new. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
Except this match is old versus old. Yeah.
This is Triple H playing Vince McMahon. This is McMahon Hogan.
This is McMahon
Hart,
Hogan, absolutely.
McMahon with Chain. And this is why I say there's no choice here. Sting wins this match hands down. There's no way that he doesn't.
Go ahead, Louis. Sorry.
I think that Triple H is going to win decisively, and then Bret Hart's going to come out and restart the match, and he's going to say that the referee fast counted, when it was truly not a fast count at all.
Who gets the points for Bound for Glory?
Sorry, you guys, say that. Bring up a point. I just got to say this about the match. You said something about Undertaker's hair bothers you. Fucking Sting's hair. Every time they show old promos and you see his, like,
oh, he looks fantastic,
like,
didn't he?
Oh, my God, that fucking hair.
Yeah, he's got that old man hair now, and he's trying to put it back behind his ears. I've actually got the same hair thing going right now. It's behind my ears. I hope I look
but
younger
you just
than Sting.
Right out.
No, he can never be that Sting anymore. And I go back and I watch some TNA videos.
But he won't go bald like Undertaker.
Well, he can't. Because, I mean, can you imagine Sting with the face paint and no hair?
It'd be like Goldust, but with black. But with a yellow, white.
Yeah, it would be, who was he in TNA? What the hell was his name?
He
in
wore
TNA?
A mask in the audience that one time.
He wore silver and black. What was his name
he
in TNA?
He was like the Joker type deal.
Was it Relic?
Relic.
Was it Relic?
Yeah, Killer, backwards.
It was a stupid gimmick. Don't look it up, yeah. Please.
I thought you were talking about Seven from WCW.
Well, no, that was when he looked like, he himself said he looked like Festus from the Addams Family.
That's true, too.
Back in that great period where they were just breaking kayfabe all the time.
One
you know?
Promo and 2 seconds into it, he's done with that gimmick.
Reminded me of Beaver Cleavage. Throw that name out there, and that lasted about 2 seconds. But no, Sting, his hair looks awful, and he is going to keep his shirt on during WrestleMania. It's probably for the best.
I don't know.
I saw a video.
Fashionzilla 1985.
I saw a video earlier today of Sting working out, and it was released today.
Really?
Yeah, and he looks good.
I need to see this video.
He's lost weight since was in TNA and wore shirts for his matches.
He was Black Rain, sorry. Black Rain.
That's what it was, yeah.
There you go.
My prediction
Black
is for
Rain,
match,
Roman Rain.
I think, as much as I want Sting to win. First of all, my heart's telling me Sting's going to win.
No, your mind is telling you Sting's going to win.
But
it's the only fucking logical
shut
option.
Up. My heart is telling me Sting's going to win, and I want Sting to win, but I think Sheamus is going to do something. It's going to cause Triple H to win. I'm going out on a limit here.
Yeah. But
on a limit?
Fucking limit. Whatever. I'm so fucking hyped
it's
up
like,
right
it's
now.
It's like midnight, by the way. We're recording this at midnight. Because that's the only time we could all get together, and Jordan still couldn't make it.
If you find
in.
This, please contact the
Jordan,
authority.
Jordan, if you can hear us, please come.
Bring some ice cream, too, because I would love some ice cream.
Is Champ there?
Sting has to win. We all agree on that. Sting has to win.
Sting's got
to
win.
Yeah.
Match.
If Sting doesn't win this match, there was no point in bringing him in. There's no WrestleMania match versus Undertaker. Yeah. And if Triple H will swallow his pride and lose for the fourth time at WrestleMania in a row.
He won't do it.
I think he will, and I think that says a lot about who he's become because, you know, back in the day, everyone hated Triple H. He put himself over. He's burying the company. He's married to the daughter. Yeah, the daughter of the owner of the company. I'm tired.
Did you have to rethink that?
I did for a second. I couldn't remember if Stephanie was a man or a woman, and then I remembered how many times I masturbated to her.
How many times?
Actually, none. I made that up. I love my wife.
I feel like
a bad joke set up, you know. It was so many times. How many times was it?
None, because there's better women. Nikki Bella alone.
I think we
love the Bellas. Asa, I love the Bellas.
Hey, we didn't say fuck Asa. Fuck you, Asa.
Fuck Asa, too, for not being here. But yeah,
appealing to a niche audience. Here.
What the hell were we even talking about? I've forgotten now. Let's just go to the next match. Sting wins. Sting is the greatest of all time behind Zack Ryder. The Intercontinental match. I got a list of names here that's in it, and I really do think that Sheamus is going to be added to this list. I think he's going to be in this match. Wade Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan, Ziggler, R-Truth, who. R-Truth deserves better than he's gotten in the WWE.
He's like one of the longest tenured people there right now.
And he's fantastic. I loved him as K-Quick. I loved him as R-Truth.
And the Confederate soldier.
You loved
the
him as K-Quick for what, like 3 months?
I think he feuded with somebody at that point, but I don't remember who. He was a Too Cold Scorpio for a while, wasn't he?
No, he was with Road Dogg, who was wearing overalls and an orange t-shirt.
It's true. That really, and a rowdy. Bucket and a bucket hat, no less.
I can see him
these
winning,
things
too,
really happen.
He's gotten over lately.
R-Truth.
I know he's not going to win.
It was terrible.
I know he's not going to win. But when you see him the past couple of weeks being like this funny guy on the mic, he's getting over a little.
He's good as the funny, insane guy.
Agreed.
And that's what he did. You know, you mentioned the Confederate outfit. When he did the Confederate outfit, like right in the middle of Redneck Land, and he comes out.
The fucking fact he did it.
Let's go back to this again, though. Val Venus was never going to be WWE champion. If they're trying to elevate the IC title, there's no way in hell.
You don't put it on Truth.
No.
So who do you put it on? You don't put it on Luke Harper, who's also in there.
Nope.
You don't put it on Stardust, because Cody Rhodes was United States champion. I'm sorry.
He was also Intercontinental champion.
He was Intercontinental champion, yeah.
Don't call
Cody. I'm sorry. Cody is dead.
I'm the only one who hasn't gotten a who in there, I think, so far. I had to get one in sometime.
You can't leave it on Barrett either, because Barrett has done nothing with the title.
I love him being the champion.
He's a great.
I think Barrett can turn it right around and chase it, but I don't think he can turn it around.
He can turn around. He can't win it.
Your only realistic options, in my opinion, are Ziggler and Bryan.
And Ambrose.
And Ambrose. But I think Ambrose is going on to something else. I think Ambrose is going to go on a feud with the Authority. He's not going to worry about titles. So, honestly, it's a coin toss between the two. If they're trying to do the legitimize the titles, I got to probably go with Bryan.
It's got to be Bryan. But you talked about this earlier, the health issues. And we'll go over this in the main event, too, because this kind of relates to it. But PW Insider, where I saw it today, they said that part of the reason WWE did not put Daniel Bryan in the main event was because of his neck injury and the fact that he took a short-term solution as opposed to a long-term solution, which would have kept him out longer, but he would come back in better shape.
He went the angle route instead of the Austin route.
Yeah, he did.
What it is.
Because he's a hippie. Because he is, you know, granola bar, keto diet kind of guy.
Tie-dye.
He doesn't do keto.
I feel like he hangs out with Dude Love on the regular time.
Because in order to do keto, you'd have to eat meat.
Oh, that's right. He's a vegan, is it? Well, I thought he stopped doing that.
No, I think that was just for his little... I think he eats meat now. He likes the meat.
Well, anyway...
it's only weird when Zach does it? Is that how it works?
Usually.
I don't understand how you take Daniel Bryan and you take him out of the... you take him out of the main event because of health issues. You don't want to go up against Lesnar. In WWE's opinion, if this report is true, and this is just from Insider, so you don't know for sure this is true, but they're pretty reliable.
Yeah, but Wrestling Observer had it too, and we all know how reliable they are. They're the Latino review of wrestling sites.
But you take him out of the main event against Lesnar, and instead you put him in a ladder match. That is safer than fighting Brock Lesnar, is being in a fucking car wreck.
Which is scarier to think about. Well, the fucking fact that he's going to be able to fall 20 feet, maybe even to concrete if it happens, that he's safer in that match than in against Brock Lesnar.
Well, you've seen some of those bumps.
Seven
that
other
they
people
take...
and an entire section from Home Depot is safer to be thrown at you than Brock Lesnar.
I'm pretty sure he could fight Godzilla and have a better chance than fighting Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar is the beast incarnate, and the last time I checked, that was the devil.
And what's scary is Brock Lesnar's a good worker. He knows he's safe. But the fact
he's got a good work rate.
He has that switch where all of a sudden he can the switch will just flip in his head and he gets in trance and he goes there and starts chucking people as if you're like, I hope he's fucking understand what he's doing right now.
He goes into UFC mode.
Yeah.
And it's scary to look at him sometimes.
Right. And the biggest thing off here, and I don't know if you were excited for this, Hunter, I was excited for this match and it's gone. They took it away from me. Goldust versus Stardust. They got rid of it. Goldust is in the Battle Royal now and Stardust is in this match.
Because it didn't automatically connect with the fans.
And WWE, if it doesn't automatically connect.
The same people who put Roman Reigns in the main event were afraid of something not connecting immediately.
Yeah. Didn't they say somewhere like they didn't have enough time to build it up? They had 5 fucking weeks.
They've had a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
Put Dusty Rhodes out there, have him throw out the Mathuns and the bicycle and all that, you know?
and he comes out and he's wearing half gold dust paint and half stardust paint. He's like, I'm towing him in the middle.
Louis' new text message ringtone tomorrow or tone is going to be Shannon saying bicycle.
And my thun.
Yikes.
So with all that stuff aside,
I actually prefer Dusty Rhodes going, man, I'll raise them weird kids.
It sounds like we all agree that Daniel Bryan's going to win this.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I would like to see Ziggler win, but I think he's held the title too many times.
I think after this match, you got Ziggler coming back after him. You've got Barrett coming after the title. There's your triple threat feud for the summer. You can use that at pay-per-views. You can use it all the way up through SummerSlam.
There's your legitimacy.
Right.
You've got Bryan with the title, and you've got some big names chasing him.
Sure.
Keep them chasing him.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially Bray.
Especially Bray.
Bray Wyatt, yeah.
I think Hunter's right. He's going to go after Reigns, because we know Reigns is going to win. Rusev versus Cena. But we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the main event. We've only got 2 matches left.
It's true.
We're going to avoid the 2-hour mark, and I'm going to get home in time to watch Dead Rising Watchtower, which is available for free on Crackle starting today.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, doing stuff like that is
starring Rob Riggle as Frank West.
Okay, let's go.
You can get Dead Rising at Gaming Grounds for
the
low.
What the fuck is Dead Rising?
This is not
Pinter Nerd.
What the fuck is
this? This is goddamn
I'm sorry.
Wrestling right now.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize.
God damn it.
I'll start talking about Jubilee here pretty soon.
Don't.
Rusev versus Cena.
Love them both.
It seems like a foregone conclusion that John Cena would win, but I hope not.
Where's Lana at?
Huh?
Where's Lana
She's filming
at?
A movie.
Filming a movie.
It's Pitch Perfect, isn't it? It is, because she's in it.
Is she in Pitch Perfect?
Yes. She has a little cameo. She was in the first one.
She's filming a WWE movie is why she's not there right now. That's all I know about that for sure. But
I'll watch it. An unnamed person that works at a place that I used to work may have come in and shown me naked pictures of Lana.
I still look at them.
Yeah, she's a very attractive girl.
What was I going to say? I forgot.
You were going to say Cena wins.
Cena does win, but I think it's... I forgot, but Cena wins.
What do you think, Hunter?
Cena wins. I'm not happy about it, but then again, the longer I look at this, the more I realize I'm not really happy with either particular outcome. I mean, granted, Cena wins adds to the what we've been hearing for some time now, the legitimacy deal. We've got to have somebody legitimize the U.S. Make title, and granted, that's got to be Cena. But at the same time, would it not legitimize it to have Rusev defend at WrestleMania and defeat John Cena?
Absolutely. The more you win with a title against big-name people,
the bigger it becomes.
And that's
on, I don't listen to JR's podcast at all, but he was saying, you know, what if you take Rusev and he wins against John Cena? You know, that puts him over, and then you have him hold a title and go undefeated till next year's WrestleMania.
That would also legitimize the title.
That would be fucking amazing.
Who do you put against Rusev in that situation?
The thing's got to be defended over and over. That's the problem I see too many times, or we see too many times. First of all, Rusev's finisher is lazy. That doesn't help me in any way whatsoever.
It's like watching Scott Steiner.
You mean the foreign finisher.
Yeah, the same one.
I feel like he needs to have something that he can pick up and chuck him.
Exactly. Yeah, he's too big for
I think when they looked at Rusev, maybe they had glasses on. They thought he was Middle Eastern. Maybe he had tanned that day and he looked Turkish. I don't know.
So the Iron Sheik train is what you're saying.
Well, they gave him the finisher that every foreign wrestler uses, the camel clutch.
Scott Steiner wasn't foreign.
He's a genetic freak.
Okay, that works.
And he does what he wants.
Scott Steiner is from Venus. I mean, let's be honest.
With Val.
Sure, why not?
If there's anybody banging chicks in wrestling history, I feel it would be Scott Steiner. He had so many freaks. And peaks.
he was, God damn it.
Next new ringtone, and peaks.
And peaks.
Who takes down Rusev if he makes it for an entire year? That's a question I don't think you can answer.
What
at
about
this point.
Kevin Owens?
Because if it's, that's the thing, it's got to be somebody who
it has to be
somebody probably
fresh.
Don't even know at this point. Yeah. Probably coming up from NXT.
Samoa Joe? Never
shut
happen.
The fuck up.
Well, never.
What about
happen.
The one guy who you talk about in NXT where I've only watched him, but they count down his matches?
And he
keeps winning and winning. What if he becomes
his name?
Baron Corbin?
Yeah. What if he becomes the guy? That
well, see, and if you're gonna do that, I think you've got to that trigger's got to be pulled a lot quicker. SummerSlam,
yeah.
Hopefully, next WrestleMania, that's all well and good, but honestly, at a certain point, it's gonna drag on.
Well, I feel like every WrestleMania, what they're gonna do is they're just gonna keep having these new guys, and they don't have enough faith in the new roster, so they're gonna keep bringing back old wrestlers to fight them. Look at Sting. Look at Undertaker. Triple H. Yeah. The Rock, which will definitely be there.
Hogan.
I wish. If Hogan would come out, who better to beat Rusev at WrestleMania next year? I'm saying Vince McMahon.
Anybody else.
Vince McMahon, I know you hear me. I know you're listening. You put Hogan versus Rusev at WrestleMania 32, you will sell out the moon.
The fucking moon? There's nobody on it. Why would you? That's just a fucking retard.
You will
statement.
Sell out the moon. We'll hold it on the moon. We'll call it Moonamania.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. Well, does anyone, even though we're talking about Rusev and how he's going to do it, does anybody believe Rusev's going to win?
Why can't Sergeant Slaughter?
I honestly think he could pull it out.
You think Rusev's going to win?
Do I think he has a chance? Yeah. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But, I mean, if I have to give it a percentage, I don't know, 70-30, something like that.
It's still in Cena's favor, though, you think?
Right.
Yeah.
Why can't Sergeant Slaughter do it? Why does Hogan have to do it?
Have you seen Sergeant Slaughter lately?
Have you seen Hogan? If you go to Hugs.
No,
and you, no. No, sorry. If you go to Hugs and you go to the counter.
No, I want to hear where this is going.
If you go to Hugs and you go up to it, you go to Hugs, you want to get something to eat. And you go up to the fucking hot dog stand, you don't want to get the one that looks like Hulk Hogan. You just don't.
You can compare. You know what? I wrote this down. I put this on a fucking note.
I want to hear it.
You look at Hulk Hogan, who is, I wrote down how old he is. Where is it, son of a bitch? He's 61. Hulk Hogan is 61 years old.
He walks like it.
He's garbage.
He does look like it. But if you don't take the glasses off Hulk Hogan, you would still think he's in Hulkamania mode. He's in a state of Hulkamania. It's like a seizure strength.
Garbage mania.
But Hogan is 61. He looks better than The Undertaker.
Garbage.
He looks better than Sting. Garbage. He looks better than Triple H. He looks better than CM Punk, who is a skinny little fat ass.
And he especially looks better. I'm not going to say this.
No, because you know Hulk Hogan's great.
I was going to say something referring to Hogan and Seth Rollins, if you know what I mean. That's what I was going to go with that.
But we all agree. Hulk Hogan's going to win.
Podcast-a-mania. This is broken down.
Let's go for broke. Let's just go for it. Let's do the main event. the main event.
Oh boy,
this has so many different turns. It's not even funny.
This is what
I forgot about Rollins till he said it a few minutes ago.
Well, I don't think Rollins is going to be a factor. I really don't.
I don't either.
I think they wait to pull the trigger on Raw. I think.
Why would they do that?
That's what happened, man.
Remember when Cena?
Because they still have that big WrestleMania foreign crowd there. That fucking goes crazy, just like when Ziggler did it.
Well, sure, but why? That's the thing. Exactly. It's already happened. Why does that have to be the case? All right, I'll just play it right out there and put all my cards on the table. This is exactly what I think happens in the main event. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar go, let's say, 30, almost 45 minutes. This is a close match.
Don't see
top to bottom. You've got tons of near falls. Maybe not necessarily that long, but point being, Roman Reigns hangs in there right up to the bitter end. Lesnar finally pulls out the win at the very end. Rollins cashes in. The Authority helps him win the title. This, to me, is the only realistic way that this happens because you've got Lesnar sticking around. They all have to detain Heyman, you know, something. They'll deal with him.
Also, I think Heyman turns.
I do.
That could happen. I could see that. But point being that this way you lead into the summer with Roman Reigns being a lot more legitimized than he was in the first place without having to take the title.
Right.
You have Rollins finally cashing his money in the bank, do something nobody else has done, cashing in at WrestleMania and win.
Right.
And that legitimizes him a bit more as well. Brock, who now has a reason to turn face, which apparently all signs point to this is what's happening.
Well, he's already a face, like Zach said earlier when we talked.
He's the biggest face in the company.
And you run this triangle feud again all the way up until SummerSlam. You've got different variations of matches that you can put on with these guys right up until then. That's I'm not saying that's exactly how it happens. To me, it's the only way that it makes sense from all possible angles.
Yeah, well, this is the match. Every other match on here, with the exception of maybe one or two, I feel like they've painted themselves in a corner.
Sure.
This is the match where they have not just painted themselves in a corner. They've built a fort. They have tanks guarding
it. There's a room of mousetraps directly in front of them.
Oh, God.
There's no way out on this because if Lesnar wins, I mean, is that where you want to go? I love Brock Lesnar, but he's a part-timer. He shows up. I mean, how long did he go between defending the title? He defended at Survivor Series.
No, SummerSlam. SummerSlam.
He won it at SummerSlam.
And then defended it
the next month.
Night of Champions.
Night of Champions. And then he didn't fight again until the Rumble.
Right.
And now he's fighting at WrestleMania. Is that a better option than Roman Reigns? Nobody likes Roman Reigns right now. He just, I don't know if you guys saw this, he was on Buzzer, I think it is. He was on the Buzzer. He made this video, they put a video out where he's talking about how he's getting bullied. He said, and I think it's joking, I think it's all in jest.
Oh, it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, he said he's getting bullied and he stop bullying me. He actually kind of has a point. They are bullying him. I don't think it's fair what's happened to him. I think he deserves better than that. He's not the worst guy in the world like everyone thinks he is. It's more the
Hulk Hogan's worse.
Daniel Bryan. They're mad because Daniel Bryan's not in the main event. That's what it is. They don't dislike Reigns. They just don't want him over Bryan, and that's not going to happen. But what is the better option? Do you have Reigns, who will be there every week, or do you take Lesnar, who the crowd likes, but it's going to show up once every 3 months?
Well, they played this whole feud back, or this whole situation back in 2004 with Randy Orton. I mean, this Roman Reigns is getting the Randy Orton treatment when he beat Benoit at SummerSlam for the title. He only got pushed in that direction the same way Reigns did. Reigns got cheered a couple of times. Suddenly, we got to make him a face. We got to make him the star of the company. He's the next big guy. What happens when you reach that end game and you go through with that? Because Orton and Benoit, it was a great match. He won the title.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where to go from there. Where do you go with Roman Reigns as WWE champion when he shows up on Raw and gets booed?
Well, first he's going to get booed out of the building at WrestleMania.
Sure.
I have so many thoughts about this one match. So many. Like, you know, The Rock may have an appearance. You know he's going to be there.
The Rock will definitely make an appearance. I think he will be there.
And that's something I actually left out of mind. Quick, just addition. Rock shows up in the process of that. Rock maybe is even partly the reason that Lesnar, let's say after the match, Lesnar's, you know, beaten and broken, but he manages to defend the title. Maybe he and Heyman are still working together after the fact. And when he gets up, he decides Reigns hasn't had enough. I'm going to mess with him. Rock shows up, rock bottom. Next thing you know, here comes Rollins to cash in Money in the Bank.
There you go.
Now you've got a reason to get Rock and Brock, which is something they wanted to do last year but couldn't get it around to happening.
Right.
Get them in an in-ring confrontation at SummerSlam, but no match. Have a match next year at WrestleMania.
And you know The Rock did an interview where he says that there is a possibility that next year's WrestleMania, it could be Lesnar versus Rock.
I heard Lesnar-Rock, yeah.
Here's my thing with Reigns and Lesnar winning. If Lesnar wins, he's not going to be on TV, so you don't see the title as much. What gives the legitimacy push of the Intercontinental and U.S. title, you know, you don't see one title, but you see these two titles.
Yeah, you make the IC title that's important.
That's the long term with Brock Lesnar. With Reigns, they're not going to get the crowd reaction they want. They're not going to get the cheer. The only way they're going to leave with Reigns being champion is if he gets booed or they go silent. And that's with help of Paul Heyman. If Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar, you kind of see it coming. You don't, because it's Brock Lesnar who wins.
Yeah.
And you seem like, holy shit, he just screwed Lesnar and Reigns wins. And they're kind of going silent, but they also boo. I think that's the way.
It was
like what happened back in 2004, right?
When Heyman turned on
Lesnar back at that point in time.
Well, I think you're going like to get
they're more tight knit nowadays with those two guys.
Yeah,
they're not going to separate for a long time.
No, and they shouldn't, because the Reigns Lesnar or the Lesnar Heyman thing is great. I think it's good. You're going to get a reaction much like when the Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar last year, where the crowd is silent, but it's not a bad silence. If that happened, if something truly surprising happened and Reigns wins, the crowd won't boo. They'll go silent, and it'll be that WrestleMania moment of, holy shit, what just happened? But otherwise, unless somebody turns, if Reigns does not leave as heel, he will leave as heel no matter what, if he wins.
Guaranteed.
He's leaving booed, and he's, you know, everybody gives John Cena shit for getting the mixed reactions. You will have never seen a superstar get booed, a face get booed, like you will see Roman Reigns get booed.
And do we think, okay, here's a thought. Do we think that at one point, Brock Lesnar no sells the Superman punch.
Has he ever taken a Superman punch in the UFC?
Oh, that's a good question.
You think he's just gonna sit there and just like let it, and he's just gonna stare at him and be like, okay, suplex time.
What if he goes down and then does the whole Undertaker sit up?
Oh, that would be incredible. Do you remember when he fought Undertaker last year and he got up? And he had that look of insanity on his face. Fighting Cena. And he's laughing because of the pain.
That was at SummerSlam. He suplexed him like 17 times. Yeah. He just looks up and he's like.
he legitimately looked like a terrifying son of a bitch.
And then no selling the Superman punch gets Brock Lesnar enough points in the Bound for Glory series.
God damn it. So break it down. Wrap it up. Who is going to win? Who is going to win? Hunter.
Seth Rollins.
Seth, you still think Seth Rollins. But who's going to win the match?
Who wins the actual match? Brock Lesnar.
You think Lesnar's going to win?
Lesnar wins the actual match. I think Rollins walks out of WrestleMania with the championship. How long that becomes the case, that's a question to be answered on Raw.
Now, do you think that, does it make more sense to have Lesnar beat Reigns, lose to Rollins, or Reigns to win?
No.
And then when Rollins comes out, biggest babyface reaction of the night.
And that's exactly the problem. Rollins is not a babyface. You don't want him to be one. That's why Lesnar wins. Sure.
You know.
Sure, but that was an okay situation with Ziggler. It was okay to turn him. You can kind of pseudo-turn him. The fans were behind him, whatever. Seth Rollins is, as has been mentioned a million times over, the face of the authority. He's the architect. He's the guy.
Hey, one of the better heels of the past 5-10 years.
You don't turn right around and ruin that. This is, again, now I'm attributing the Randy Orton situation to him. Randy Orton was just fine in Evolution. All of a sudden, he's got to play face. It didn't work very well.
No.
I think Rollins has to beat Lesnar. If he's cashing in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, it has to be against Lesnar. Because at least then there's a pseudo-heel there.
Right.
Or I should say the way around, there's at least a pseudo-face there that he can beat losing. And get the heel reaction.
Right. Zach, what do you got?
I got Reigns.
Yeah, Reigns?
I got Reigns.
You think Rollins is going to walk out?
I didn't think about it until he brought it up.
Hunter Hendricks is a mastermind, I tell you what.
You know,
and the architect
I've been thinking
of the
about
podcast,
this for a couple and, weeks now. I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks now, how it's going to happen. I totally fucking forgot about Seth Rollins. He brings it up.
And that's exactly what I love so much about it.
And now my entire thought... I'm actually going to change. I'm going to go with Rollins beating Lesnar because he made a good point.
You just changed his mind
in the middle of
the
game. I've been talking about this for 2 weeks and I forgot about it and he brought it up to me. And this may sound cheesy, but I think the fans are going to go home happy for the first time in a long time. This pay per view doesn't look like it's going to be fun coming up.
Right.
But I think from the show, and we broke it down so much, it's going to be a hell of a show.
This is the one thing to keep in mind, though, and I don't want us to end on a downer because I know we're getting close to wrapping things up here. But a lot of what we're talking about here. I will admit that sometimes when I've been asked what do I think is going to happen, it's also kind of what do I want to see happen.
Right. You want Rollins
to be
to come
fair,
out.
A lot of what I, yeah, exactly what I explained, that's exactly what I would like to see happen.
Right.
I can absolutely see, though, Roman Reigns wins clean 1-2-3, end of the show, thanks for coming. I can see WWE doing that. And you know why? Because Monday Night Raw ended with a tug of war over the WWE title. ended like The Sopranos. It was the most bizarre. Cut it out.
I think the best ending that you just described where they do that, the best way to describe it is why? Because fuck you, that's why.
That's why.
Have you seen Mick Foley's Facebook? He took a picture of Reigns, are Lesnar and Reigns holding the title.
Is it a box of Eggo waffles?
Yes. Greatest thing I've seen.
Is that where that came from? I saw it somewhere else. I didn't know that it was from Foley's Facebook page.
I could see Reigns pulling out somewhat of an upset, and then Brock Lesnar like getting up almost immediately, being like, "Nah, kid, this ain't happening." and then just beating the holy living hell out of Roman Reigns, and then Seth Rollins comes out.
Right.
Now, are you talking about like a legitimate too? Like he legitimately goes, "Fuck this, it's on," or it's still storyline?
It's still storyline.
Okay, I didn't know if you're talking about like a Perry Saturn, Mike Bell type. Yeah.
I think
he
takes the title home and he gets hunted down. Nice to pull. His house.
Thank you. I got that. Lesnar gets. I watched that recently.
Wrote that down in your notes.
It's not in my notes. That's in my head.
Lesnar's gonna take the title home because he got so many losses.
I can see that. I can see that being the case. Though the way that Lou mentioned, it could go either way. There, personally, I prefer the opposite situation. If Rollins beats Lesnar, that's kind of, in my opinion, the way that you want it to go. Because at this point, Lesnar is more or less the face of this feud. If he beats Reigns, I feel like he's gonna get a face reaction, and that's not what they want. Right. Unless they want to break him from the authority, which again, I also think is a bad idea. But I can see it going down that way.
I think Lesnar's got to win. Because they just announced, they made such a big deal over Brock Lesnar re-signing. Sure. He was on mainstream shows.
ESPN, I mean, this is
mainstream of coverage. There's no way you put this guy all over TV. You build him and go, hey, we got this guy again. We got him.
Right.
And then you have Roman Reigns beat him or Seth Rollins beat him. Because I think it makes more sense to have Rollins feud with him. You know, give him a feud. Don't just make it one of those... I'm cashing in because you're weak type things, because they have not portrayed a heel correctly in how long. Name, other than Brock Lesnar, name a, and Rusev actually does very well too, but a strong heel that you legitimately think is a badass versus the weasel that constantly sneaks in and does whatever.
Miz was the perfect chicken shit heel is exactly what you're talking about.
And he was good
about.
At it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you have to have somebody you're afraid of eventually.
Right.
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens would absolutely be the guy later at a point. At a later
Bray
point
Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
My only problem, Shannon, with the way that you mentioned that in having the Rollins Lesnar feud is that we've been talking so much about how Lesnar is more or less the face in this situation. I don't think that translates to Rollins Lesnar the way it works for Lesnar Reigns. Lesnar Reigns, sure, Lesnar is more or less the face because people hate Roman Reigns right now.
They don't want him anywhere near the title.
But they legitimately don't like Seth Rollins the way that they're supposed to, for lack of a better term. Weird. Seth Rollins plays the heel the way he's supposed to be.
X-Pac heat versus,
Right. Brock Lesnar won't be a face there unless they make some serious switch where Heyman all of a sudden turns his attention toward the authority. But again... How does that work? Paul Heyman is now the champ. I mean, Paul Heyman's been the champion of the people when he ran ECW. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Brock Lesnar's never going to work that way. No. Right. No. And Brock Lesnar especially not.
Right.
You know, we have Brock Lesnar cutting promos where he talks about he's going to leave Cena in a puddle of his own piss and vomit.
Yeah.
That doesn't work as a face against Seth Rollins.
I'll say, leave that Lesnar, because that Lesnar brings a real feel of real toughness to the Federation. He's not cutting sissy promos like John Cena does. When Brock Lesnar says, "I'm going to pound your face in, I'm going to piss on you and make your kids my kids," not only do people believe it, but they cheer for him.
Sure.
He is if he goes face, don't change him. Leave him as he is. People will cheer for him because they want to cheer for him.
Right. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'll make a point, too, that you said that about having them feud over the summer. I think that works if Rollins cashes in. I don't think it works as well if he doesn't.
Right.
Because if he doesn't cash in... Suddenly, it kind of feels like the heel is chasing the face in this
situation.
Yeah,
and you always want the face chasing the heel. That's
classic
wrestling. Right,
and especially because you're talking about the guys that you're talking about. Just for an example, I was at Fastlane in Memphis back in February. Yes, live. I was there. And to give you an idea of what, for lack of a better term, from what I can assume, a kind of casual fan is interested in right now, the people around me were talking a bit about what was going on and what matches were coming up, what was going to happen at WrestleMania before we all knew. And we got to talking about the main event, who wins, who's going on to face, you know, Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And me and a buddy of mine who went both said, well, we really kind of hope it's Daniel Bryan because we really enjoy Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And most of the people around us, and this is ranges from 6 to probably 46, were saying outright, Daniel Bryan will get the crap kicked out of him by Brock Lesnar. He's too little.
Right.
He can't handle it. I mean, this is what the casual fan sees. Like you said, they see Brock Lesnar for what he is in
a
the
monster.
Best way.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins fits that Daniel Bryan mode. He's not that big. He's not a big guy.
I honestly think the only real suitable way to take the title off of Brock Lesnar is to put him in a four-man match or a six-man match.
And let somebody else get pinned.
And no. Have everybody hit their finisher on him, and then they all try to pin him at the same time.
Right.
And then they all get the pin,
which
and
is why
the title's
I think,
held up.
Right. That's why I think Money in the Bank works, because you got to think, when you cash in Money in the Bank, it doesn't just mean cash it in, hit your finisher, win, especially with Seth Rollins having the authority behind him. Suddenly, you've got Triple H with a sledgehammer in his hand. You got Big Show and Kane throwing double choke slams.
Or throwing J&J security at
and
him.
Throwing them literally at him just as like javelins, like lawn darts. Yeah, I think that's the way it makes sense. Yeah, exactly.
I have a side note I want to make real quick off this. Did anybody watch Raw when Heyman and Lesnar cut that promo? Where
no, but you mentioned that earlier.
Be more specific.
Okay. Yeah. I think
I might have seen that.
This past Raw, it was basically the end of the show where they held up the title again.
Sure, yeah.
Did you watch the part where Heyman was talking to Lesnar about Reigns might as well go in and steal his wife, his kids?
Yeah.
Lesnar's like, what the fuck is he talking
about?
Oh,
yeah, for a minute there, Brock Lesnar was, he was pretty sure that they didn't script that particular promo.
And Lesnar's like, what the fuck is Heyman going with this? Does he know what the fuck he's saying? And then all of a sudden he's like, play it off, man. Play it off.
Yeah.
Do you think that was legit, or do you think that's a hint of what might happen at WrestleMania?
I think that was Brock Lesnar showing that he is a better actor than anybody gives him credit for. That's my opinion. Honestly, I think Brock Lesnar was legitimately reacting to that move. Where do you come off saying like this about my fan? Oh, wait a minute. You're saying I'm going to do that to him. Okay,
I thought he didn't know what was going on.
Well, Brock Lesnar is at his best acting when he's just being himself.
Exactly.
And, you know, wrestlers are always best
and
when
that's
you,
not
you turn
just,
their personality up to 10.
Right, and that's not just for promos. That comes for in the ring, too. I mean, back at the Royal Rumble, when they did the whole table broken bit, it looked like he had a broken rib or something.
He should have won an Oscar for that.
Same guy that I was talking about that went with me to Fastlane. Hi, Jake. I know you're going to be listening to this crap.
You better.
he sends me a text because he was watching on the network at home and says, dude, I don't think that I don't. I think that went down
we
wrong.
We were all
Lesnar,
the same
I think,
way.
Yeah, legitimately he really hurt himself, and it was right around the time he popped up, and so I had to text back, of course, that looked like a broken rib to you, and he said, I believed it. I mean,
we all believed it. I
both of us being
20-year
wrestling fans and going, that really happened. That's bad news.
I honestly thought that they were going to do a thing where that was going to be the key to the win for Reigns.
Right, right.
It was like a broken rib equals, you know,
spear,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of funny they dropped that too. But
I hate that move.
Yeah, but you would think to some degree, if they're going to go ahead and set that up, you play it off in some way. But I mean,
yeah.
I guess
but you're giving them more credit.
Right. The other way is that Lesnar is a freak of nature and heals up a broken rib.
But not a genetic freak.
God damn, I was going to say
not
that.
Not a genetic freak. Well, it really does feel, I feel excited about WrestleMania more
now
so than when we started.
Yeah. Right.
And I also feel like we, for the most part, are completely divided on the main event. But we agree on a lot of other stuff.
Really, sure. Really divided on the Cena Rusev match.
We think Cena's going to win. We don't want him to. We think Bryan's going to win. Sting's got to win. Orton's going to win. Taker and Wyatt. That's a toss up. That's going to be a barn burner. But I think it's going to be a good show.
Yeah,
I do think it is. And speaking of good shows, I think we should wrap it up.
We're probably
at like 4.5 hours at this point.
Nah, I'm at hour 36.
That's pretty good.
Not too shabby.
It's only 36 over. All of our friends can listen to it.
Yeah. What else are they going to do? They're just going to sit around and play video games anyway. Put your headphones on.
We're going to edit out we're going to do what WWE is going to do when the show comes out on DVD and edit out all the discussion about the women's match.
Don't do that.
But please leave in the talk about Seth Rollins' penis.
And getting RKO'd.
And we'll post that picture on Blogzilla 1985.
Can you post a picture of a hot dog for me too?
It's the same thing.
Thank you.
Post a picture of Hulk Hogan because it's a hot dog. Never mind.
Penis hot dog.
Handle with that.
I think I want to end with this. That you mentioned Seth Rollins' penis.
The curse stop.
It's just interesting enough that His penis has gotten enough points in the Bound for Glory series.
This sounds like a presidential debate. I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you so much for asking that. Let me just start by saying.
And with the talk of the penis, I want to thank, first off, I want to thank everybody that listened to this. This is the first official show for the new Podzilla 1985. I haven't 100% gotten behind the idea of doing one of these things weekly. I've had a lot of fun tonight, though. It was a great time. I want to thank Hunter Hendricks, especially, because he pulled me through this. He got me to do it. He he pretty much pulled my hand on this. He guided me. He's awesome. I hope you'll come back and do some more of these sometime in the future.
I would love to.
Real Rock 99.3 is Hunter Hendricks' personal friend. Just want to point that out. I want to thank Zach Price for coming in here. I know you skipped out on an event with people you know, and I'm sure they're very disappointed in you. You came here just to talk about...
They ditched me, actually.
Nipples and penis. Well, that's to be expected. That's to be expected. We all know you personally, and nobody likes it.
And I want to thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank, again, Hunter Hendricks for letting us record here in the studio.
Oh, sure.
It's awesome. I've never been in the studio before, and this was a great experience for me. I also want to thank Louis Benson, a longtime friend, Blogzilla 1995 contributor, and a man about town. 85. It's based on Godzilla 1985. It's a whole story.
But you said 1995.
It was a good year too. The Sightings was on during that time, and that was a fantastic show. No one's gonna get that.
Randy the Ram Robinson would say that the '90s sucked.
I turned 7 that year.
I'm old. We've established that. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll tune in for the next one. We'll post on the website when we're going to start doing these. Try to do them weekly, maybe even daily. I don't know. I got a lot of plans. We'll see what happens.
Sure.
Enjoy WrestleMania. We will be back post-WrestleMania. We're going to try to do another show to talk about what happened. Unfortunately, Hunter will not be there for us with that one, but sure. He is going to text me, and we're going to read his text on the air. Can I stay on the air if it's a podcast?
Yeah, why not?
All right. we're gonna find out what happens. I hope Mania is good. Thank you so much, and enjoy the show.